says even if the high court strikes down the Affordable Care Act, some insurance companies have already said they will continue to honor some of the law's requirements. A fast-growing wildfire in Colorado has forced 11,000 people from their homes. It's also managed to threaten popular summer camping grounds beneath Pikes Peak. The fire in the Pike National Forest has consumed about 2,500 acres. And residents of several counties along Florida's Gulf Coast being urged to leave low-lying neighborhoods because of the threat of flooding from Tropical Storm Debby. This is NBC News Radio. At least one person is feared dead and another trapped inside the rubble after a roof collapsed at a mall in northern Ontario, Canada. It's been more than 24 hours since the collapse, and rescue crews are still unable to reach the victims because the structure is too unstable. Countless rainbow flags and banners filled the streets of San Francisco for Sunday's Gay Pride Parade. It marked the 42nd year the city has celebrated the lesbian, gay, and transgender community. It's been a brave weekend at the nation's movie houses.
Brave debuted in first place at the box office over the weekend. The latest animated blockbuster from Pixar earned $66.7 million. After two straight weekends on top, Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, got bumped to second place, and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter opened in third. I'm Seth Goldman, NBC News, Los Angeles.
And Jeopardy host Alex Trebek is expected to make a full recovery after he suffered a mild heart attack over the weekend. I'm Barbara Cusack, NBC News Radio.
Hello. Eyes on the road, I'll talk, you drive. Just wanted to pop in to remind you that every Honda certified used car comes with an outstanding limited warranty. And you know what they say about outstanding limited warranties. They're outstanding. And right now, well-qualified customers can get an awesome 1.9% APR financing deal on any Honda certified used car. Which means for a limited time, you can get both awesome and outstanding in one car. Which is pretty fantastic. Alright, I'm out of here. Oh, see your Honda dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Here in the summer, the time of year when gasoline prices historically are at their highest, what we're seeing instead is gas prices continuing to slide, down 14.6 cents a gallon in 2 weeks, according to the latest Lundberg survey. National average for gas prices now coming in at just under $3.48 per gallon. This early morning, we are watching crude oil futures slide, even after oil companies with operations in the Gulf of Mexico ordered their workers away from offshore rigs and platforms. Issues stemming from worry over the European economy and the prospect of falling oil demand, helping bring oil futures back down a little more than a half dollar. It's just over $79 a barrel. Pretty much wherever you look around the world, stocks are not looking too great. Down in Asia and across most of Europe, here, S&P futures are down 10 points, NASDAQ futures down 16. European Union leaders meeting for a summit with little hope for any substantive action. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Where were you when JFK's intern revealed their affair to Meredith Vieira?
The president came over to me and we went into the bedroom.
When Bob Costas confronted accused Penn State predator Jerry Sandusky.
If you're not a pedophile, then what are you?
And Brian Williams got the full story behind Osama bin Laden's takedown.
We are inside the White House Situation Room for the first time.
Rock Center with Brian Williams, all new, all summer. Thursdays, 10, 9 Central on NBC.
Americans are talking about energy.
They know we need energy from all sources.
To put Americans back to work.
And keep our nation secure.
Developing domestic energy.
American oil and natural gas.
Advanced technologies are making it possible.
Protecting the environment.
The new era of energy security.
Americans are becoming energy voters.
They're voting to re-energize America.
They're voting for American energy.
Learn more at voteforenergy.org.
Brought to you by the American Petroleum Institute.
When you're running a facility, safety is key. That's why Grainger offers over 70,000 diverse safety products, and that number's growing. Everything from personal protection gear and safety signs to online safety training tools, all to help you reduce injuries and downtime and keep up with regulations. You might say safety's our middle name. Yep, Grainger, safety, Grainger. Hey, you get the idea. Cut back on costs and worries. Call pickgrainger.com or stop by a branch.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to First Shift on this Monday, the 25th day of June 2012. Hope you are all well. 6 minutes after the hour of six as we begin another week of truth and empowerment. I hope you are all well. I hope you all enjoyed what was, has to really be described as the perfect weather weekend, although a little hot. It's summer, and it should be a little hot. Of course it should. We'll get a little cool down in the beginning of this week, then we'll turn the temperatures up again. So enjoy it while you can, and of course enjoy if you are going down to the fireworks this evening. I'm sorry, the Target fireworks this evening. Where they promise they're going to be, according to the Detroit Free Press, oohs and ahs and a few surprises. I will, of course, have to read about it in the morning because I will not be staying up late just to watch somebody put a match to something that goes boom and people go ooh and ah over. Just saying, that's just me. All right. I'm not a big fireworks person. We've got a great show. Representative Congressman Hanson Clark will be with us at 7 o'clock. He'll talk about some money that he has secured for the state police, and he'll be here to share that good news with us. We're going to be open lines for quite a bit of the 7 o'clock hour, by the way, so that gives us a chance to visit with each other once again. There's plenty to talk about. Mark Brewer joins us at 8, just after 8 o'clock, where he's got plenty on his mind. Continue to discuss the war on women and how the GOP, especially the state, keeps getting it, and you can fill in the blank whatever it is, wrong. And Christine Berry joins us, the raccoon that she is, at 8:35 in our blog roll segment. So we have plenty of really great stuff to get to as we work our way through the show today. We've got some good audio to share with you. I've got some great stories that I printed off. And, of course, your calls. You are always welcome. And before I go any further, for those of you, of course, that have been to the Facebook page, you know I posted a picture of Vinny on, I believe it was Saturday. Could have been Friday, but no, it was Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday. And what a popular guy he is. And understandably, because Vinny's just that kind of dog. I'm just saying. So I'm happy to share him with you and glad that you, so many of you enjoyed him. Anyway, with all that said, let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
I need a little, I don't have any audio effects on my side of the screen, but guilty. Did you hear that? Guilty, guilty. Jerry Sandusky's guilty. A lot of guilty. A lot of guilty people. I do want to briefly, we haven't really talked much, and then Jeff and I can do this during our short sports segment. Jerry Sandusky, the assistant football coach at Penn State University, found guilty late Friday night of molesting children. May he burn in hell. There was a national sports guy on our way in today that said I hope somebody kills him. I don't know that I'm going to necessarily endorse the murder of a human being, although I will endorse some kind of real pain. I mean, real pain as he moves forward in his what's left of his life. He's an old man. So God only knows how long before he ends up with some kind of illness and has to have special treatment and will be in the infirmary his entire stay. But as long as he's behind bars, I'm pretty happy. Guilty.
Guilty.
We'll just leave it there. I could talk about guilty in so many different ways, but we'll just leave it there. We'll stick to Penn State and Jerry Sandusky. Glad that the jury did the right thing. Guilty. Bang, 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 said the judge. Guilty, damn it. Good morning, Jeffrey. You are not. You're only guilty of caring about, you know, what you do. So that's not a bad thing.
I'll take that judgment. Thanks.
Not a problem. What did you think of the, I mean, I wasn't surprised by the verdict. I truly didn't think the jury was going to come back and say, well, you know, we're not sure. There's some gray area here. And based on what I read, I literally did not spend more than collectively 5 minutes following the trial of Jerry Sandusky because I just find it so reprehensible what this guy did. But I'm certainly thrilled that he was found guilty and look forward to hearing what his sentence will be.
Yeah, it sounds like, what, 45 of 48 counts? And I just kind of wonder, I mean, I think the first news I heard about the upcoming, you know, last week, the upcoming results were that they had thrown something out right away. And so I was like you, wondering, well, geez, you know, how much is he actually going to get in trouble? Or did they find a way to, you know, get him a lesser sentence, but, you know, 45 of 48 is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And there's certainly enough there to put him away for the rest of his natural life, which I don't remember how old he is. He's in his 60s, I believe. And so I think he's somebody said 40 to 60 years in prison, which would, of course, be the rest of his natural life, and which is, he should be put away for the rest of his natural life. I happened to watch a very early Saturday morning a show called Rock Center with Brian Williams. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a news show. It's, you know, one of those news magazine shows. And not sure, it was on MSNBC, so I'm not quite sure why it was on early Saturday morning. It's irrelevant. One of the segments that they did was on a young person that didn't testify that claimed, and I say that because of the way the system works, claimed that he was molested by Jerry Sandusky, and it was really disturbing to listen to him tell this story. He's, I don't know how old he was, and I'm sure they said I didn't hear it, but Jeff, nice looking guy. I just, you know, it was obvious to listen to him tell this story, how painful it was. There's no question I believed what he said, and they did explain that the reason he didn't testify is the prosecutors had another six or eight young people that could have testified that didn't, and they were saving them in case they needed, in case they got a not guilty verdict, and at that point they were prepared to go after federal charges, and they had another round of people that could have testified against him, including his adopted son Matt, which is what they reported. That's why he didn't end up, Jerry Sandusky, that is, didn't end up testifying for himself. But it was very disturbing to listen to this young man talk about what happened. So I you know, again, you know, may the guy burn in hell. I'm not going to wish for somebody to murder him, as that guy was doing on national radio this morning. I think that's a little irresponsible. But I understand where his passion's coming from. But it's a very sad day. There's nothing to celebrate in this guilty plea because lots of lives were ruined. Lots of them.
And that being said, don't you think his lawyers or his family or somebody's going to put up the fact that he can't be in with any other prisoners? I mean, he's got to be set aside because there's going to be somebody in jail right now or in prison right now that's thinking, I will be a hero to many by taking this guy out.
Absolutely, and I believe that he will get some protection. I do believe that. I'm not sure if he's going to serve in one of those country club-type prisons like Monica Conyers is in right now, you know, the same prison that Martha Stewart was in. They have similar ones for for men, of course. My old friend Denny McLean served in one of those country club prisons because of his quote-unquote celebrity status. I don't know that they will give him that kind of favoritism. I'd like to see him serve pretty hard time. You know, even though I realize he will die in prison, I don't care. I just don't care. What little I know, and I probably know more than I'm comfortable admitting to, about what happened. This guy needs to suffer, Jeff. He really does. I mean, what he did is just, there's no way to, you can't spin any of it in a positive way. Not any of it. Nothing. So, we'll see what happens. How horrible. Horrible.
It's already, I mean, like you said, the guy's late 60s. How much suffering can he do? He's already gotten away with being able to be free, and then shoving it in the face of Penn State people as he continues to wear Penn State gear, being arrested or being on TV and proclaiming his innocence, and then going on TV. And I don't know if you saw this. Remember the interview he did with Bob Costas?
Oh, sure I do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Apparently, and I would have to see the segment. I have yet to do it. I just saw a story on it. But a show on Fox News kind of lambasted NBC for doing the interview the way they did and leading him into his answers. I don't know. I'd have to see the segment Fox News did on it. And it's not Fox News. It's Fox News, like one of their programs that they have on there. But just taking NBC to task because of how they, you know, did the interview, I suppose.
Well, NBC has on their homepage that interview, or at least the link to that interview, Jeff, which, of course, has specific interest and more particular interest today because of the verdict, the guilty verdict. So they reposted or perhaps repositioned the story so it's a little easier to find.
Did you see the signed picture of Sandusky went for $1,100?
No, I did not see that.
Well, he had a camp or, you know, something related to the camp, and it says, you know, in giant words, like those inspirational posters that just have one word, it says touched.
And
it has, you know, him working with kids or something, and then he signed it, and it went for $1,100.
I wouldn't buy that. That's sick. All right, let's take a break here. Tigers, very mixed reviews this weekend, but we'll talk about that on the other side. Lot to get to today. 888-552-3595. We're up against the break. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
First Chip with Tony Truppiano. Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we got some weekend work that is concluding now on 696 in both directions just west of Ryan Road. And also on Coolidge Highway at 12 Mile, all lanes are scheduled to close for road work. That starts tomorrow, and that runs through August 8th. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 76 degrees. Tonight, clear skies at 54. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 degrees, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano. One of the few people showing some leadership and speaking truth to power. And Representative Brown, it's really an honor to have you on the show this morning.
I wish I could say I know why I was banned from the speaking yesterday on the floor. But nobody from Republican leadership ever came up to me and said, here's what you did wrong. Here's how long you're banned. Nothing. And, you know, I feel very strongly about this issue, but I am not a partisan person. I don't usually come out and say, Republicans this. That's just not me. But this issue has just, and the way that I've been treated and the way that women have been treated, it's just unacceptable.
On 1310. WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Hello, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trippiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. Yep, that's early, no matter where you're at. 888-552-3595. Jeff, not a great weekend for the Detroit Tigers. I was listening to the game on my way back from visiting my wife and my in-laws who are camping, and heard Justin Verlander give up a two-run homer. That dinger sent me to listening to music, to be honest with you. You sent me an email that said Saturday night you were watching the game and decided that perhaps there were other things you could have been watching or doing. I understand completely, my friend, and I feel your pain.
Well, it's too bad you turned off yesterday's game, though, because as frustrating as the two-run shot was to Garrett Jones, the Tigers actually put themselves into position to eke out another run and end up winning 3-2. And I thought, you know, how cool. Well, first of all, you know, they needed Miguel Cabrera to kind of step up. And I guess his strikeout ended up leading to Quentin Berry stealing second base. And then they walked Prince, of course, to get to Delman. And this is a situation where, and Jim Leland completely right, the people outside of 1 through 4, 5 through 9, need to step up and come through in key situations. I just had a feeling. I actually said this to my dad. I got a feeling Delman's going to come through right now. Just somehow, some way. I like the way Delman's been swinging the bat. I know a lot of people don't like Delman and wish we could trade him and get rid of him. He's a liability in the field and whatever. But I'm starting to sense that he's coming around. And if he has another, if he does what Rayburn does, and the second half of the season is his season, because, I mean, that's the way it was last year when he came to the Tigers in the second half was outstanding. He comes through, gets a single. Tigers end up going up by one, and they help Verlander out. He goes a complete game and gets the win. I tell you what though, I'm a huge fan of Quentin Berry as well.
You're not alone. It was interesting. I was listening to Jim Price and Dan Dickerson. I'm sorry. I was listening to them as I was driving along, and they were talking about a conversation that they had had with Dave Dombrowski, who is the general manager of the Detroit Tigers, for those that don't know, Jeff. And they were talking about, and Dave Dombrowski had said, listen, you know, I hear it from the fans, too. It's not like I don't walk through the stands. It's not like people don't know who I am. And, yeah, they take me aside and tell me what I should be doing with the club, which I got a chuckle out of because I'm sure he gets plenty of that. And he said, listen, this is what we have. He said, I tell people this. I tell the fans this when they stop me. This is what we have. What would you like? Who do you want me to go out and get? You know, we'll get a second baseman. Okay, do you think that one player is going to make that big a difference? Let's talk about the players that we have suited up already. There isn't a one of them that, if he were to play to his potential, couldn't be a superstar in this league. And he's right. He's 100% right. They need to step up, and they need to play better baseball. There's no question that's true. I was listening or read a column the other day about Brennan Bosch. You remember when he came up. He was, at that time, the Quentin Berry of his day. What's happened to him, Jeff? He's hitting well under average. He's become a very unexciting baseball player. What's happened to the guy? I don't know, but it's just, you know, I agree with Dave Dombrowski. The people that they have, that they have suited up, that they have on the field, if they'll step up and play to their potential, we could have a dynamic team. They just need to step up and play to their potential.
Well, that's the thing. You know, baseball is a game of adjustments. And, yeah, you can come up and make a splash, but you've got to be able to make the adjustments to be able to stay in. I mean, pitchers will find holes in your swing where, you know, places where they can put the ball where you're not going to like it, or pitches you don't like to see. And it's up to you to make those adjustments.
Now, no question.
You know, and Bosch has been one of those guys who, oh, he's just so naturally gifted. And he has a nice-looking swing, no doubt. But there was a story early on, I don't know if he's since changed, that he doesn't like watching film of himself or trying to learn off of film. It's, you know, he doesn't want to get too many thoughts in his head. He just wants to go out there and instinctively react. And while that worked for, you know, worked for a while, I would take advantage of whatever it takes to get better. I'm not trying to rip on him. Do whatever it takes for him to get better. If it's not watching film, then fine. But he, you know, those guys need to improve. And Rayburn reminds me a lot of a former Tiger, Carlos Pena, who, when he played for the Tigers, it was like, you know, two-thirds of the season, he was horrible. And then that final third of the season, he was good, but by then the Tigers were out of it because he played for horrible Tiger teams. Rayburn, they need him to be good that final third of the season, but they sure would like him to be good the first two-thirds as well.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't hurt. And you probably know this better than most because you've been in the locker room through some of the work you've done at WDFN. But Brennan Bosch is a really nice young man. I mean, he's a real quality person. We're not talking about a disrespectful kid. I mean, this is somebody that is really a great young man, and I'd love to see him have that thing, quote unquote, that thing he had when he first came up, that the first year, even year and a half that he was with this team. I mean, everybody, the fans just love this guy. And now, of course, he's become, I guess, the next in line to take the heat, which is unfortunate. And I don't know if that's affecting him. I just don't know, Jeff. I would just love to see him have a better year. Somebody's got to, you know, not just one person, actually. Some buddies have to start stepping up and playing better baseball.
Yeah, you know, but it's true. I think Bosch is a good guy, but think about the other people that fans take heat on or took heat to. They're great people. Brennan Inge, great guy off the field, great guy in the locker room, great guy to talk to, period. Off the record, on the record, whatever. Ryan Rayburn, by all means, is an outstanding guy. A guy that will not ever, you know, say blame anything else. It's always on me. Even in spring training when he hit 450 or something like that and writers were giving him the MVP award, the fake MVP award for spring training, the first thing he said is, you know, he didn't want any credit, and he was like, let's just make sure it goes to, you know, carries over into the season. He was right to worry about, maybe, you know, worrying too much about it. So I don't think that the problem for a lot of these guys is character or anything like that. But I do wonder sometimes if, the Tigers hang on to guys and trust them that they'll turn things around too much.
Well, in other news, Jeff, we're four short weeks away from the opening of football, NFL football training camp. I'm sorry, I'm excited about it. I know you don't want to go there yet, but I might even start a little countdown clock because I can't wait.
It's not even July yet.
I know. I just can't wait.
I know. I know you can't wait. But, I mean, that football to me signals the end of summer and the start of fall.
Well,
and we haven't
coming.
Even gotten into summer yet.
Well, yes, we are into summer.
We're barely. Like that.
4 days.
It's like when you go into a cold water and you got your toes. The toes are in summer.
I said 4 days. It's not like I'm not being honest about it. I'm just saying. Yes, you're right. I said that last week that, you know, when football starts, that does signal fall, autumn, yes. Okay. When we come back, we'll talk some national stuff, some local stuff. Fireworks night. Who's going? That's our Facebook first shift poll question of the day. Are you going to the Target fireworks? I do that. I only do that because, well, they pay a lot of money to be the Target fireworks, so you might as well give them their due, right? Somebody's got to step up. And now the mayor says what? Hey, communities that surround Detroit, if you want fireworks in the future, you're going to help us pay for them. Mr. Mayor, what's your problem? He's not a very good PR guy, is he? We'll take the break and come back. Stay with us.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we got some weekend work that is concluding now on 696 in both directions just west of Ryan Road. And also on Coolidge Highway at 12 Mile, all lanes are scheduled to close for road work. That starts tomorrow, and that runs through August 8th. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Spice up your night with the new Spicy Chicken McBites. Poppable pieces of juicy chicken breast with a spicy taste. Most locations open 24 hours. Participation varies. Only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 76 degrees. Tonight, clear skies of 54. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 degrees, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
To measure how our economy is doing, media outlets keep a constant eye on the Dow Jones average. But they're like cats watching the wrong mouse hole. For the great majority of Americans have between zero and next to nothing in the stock market. The economic measure that matters most to most folks is the Doug Jones average. The Doug is concerned about such key indicators as the pump price on a gallon of regular, the subprime value of today's 7.25 minimum wage, and the impact of global inflationary pressures on the cost of a six-pack. So, how are Doug and Dottie Jones doing? The number crunchers at the Federal Reserve have just answered that for us. Not well. Not well at all. In its latest survey of consumer finances, the Fed found that from 2007 to 2010, all but the wealthiest 10% of American households have been downwardly mobile. The median net worth of U.S. households tumbled in those 4 years by a startling 39%, falling to the lowest level in 20 years. In short, Americans are not merely feeling poorer, they are. Foreclosures, lost jobs, wage declines, and other reductions, combined with rising costs of everything from gasoline to child care, have become the norm, shoving many proud middle-classers into poverty. Yet, Washington remains fixated on the Dow Jones average and the stock market elite, with Republican leaders even clamoring for a return to the disastrous policies of tinkle-down economics that caused this decline. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, three-fourths of Americans today have more invested in their aging cars than in stocks. With the consumer economy busted, America's cars are now, on average, 11 years old. Restoring American prosperity begins with restoring the Joneses to the middle class. It's percolate-up economics that we need, not tinkle-down.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Oh, welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. A lot of stuff to get to. The fireworks are this evening. And why not? I always wonder why they do them so early, though. I think it coincides with the freedom, whatever it is. I don't know. I thought it was always supposed to be about the 4th of July, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's about the International Freedom Festival.
See, that's what I always wondered. 4th of July fireworks, and you're having them not even in July.
Yeah, they've always been like this, and I just have never quite understood it, but maybe it's just me.
On the other hand, I don't like, this year at least, I don't like them actually being on the 4th, if some places are holding on the 4th. That's Wednesday night. A lot of people have to work the Thursday morning, early the next day on Thursday morning.
Like you and I.
Like us, yes.
Yeah. Not Anthony. Anthony will be on vacation. I want to know how that happened. He must know the boss.
He put in early. We obviously, me and you didn't get our forms in on time.
Apparently, we didn't get our forms in on time. Channel 7, WXYZ TV, did a little futuristic look at tonight's fireworks. This is what they report.
They have big plans for safety for the fireworks extravaganza. Right now, they're moving out one party, River Days, and getting ready for the big party. As you said, the big focus is on safety. Detroit police are calling in backup. Expect a small army of officers as River Days wraps up. The big show on the Detroit River is set to explode. The Pyrotechnic Spectacular is a production enjoyed by thousands, but cash-strapped Detroit is in a tough position. This year, police in the Motor City need a lot more backup.
This year, we recognize that we have lost so much manpower, so we realized that we needed some assistance in order to really make this thing happen. Michigan State Police, Oakland County, Wayne County, Macomb County, they've been here every year, but just not in the large numbers that we have them this year.
A curfew will be in place, too. Anyone 17 and under has to be with an adult starting at 6 p.m.
We've looked at what happened in previous years, and we found that not all of our youth pose a problem to the fireworks. However, looking at some of the incidents that took place, we decided to institute a citywide curfew.
Families say the extra precautions add a sense of security.
If we all do our part, we should be okay. Leave the guns and the violence at home.
I love Detroit. It's my home. I'll give it another chance.
Last year was pretty quiet, with the exception of a 14-year-old boy who shot himself in the leg and another teen girl who was hit by a bullet that ricocheted. And police sources tell us they've also been monitoring some Twitter and Facebook activity, possibly gang-related activity. They are saying that there are some threats, but they are monitoring those threats very carefully. And again, there's going to be a lot of officers out here making sure everyone stays safe.
Now, you know, I give him credit for following Facebook and Twitter, because that stuff can be very real. People do post stupid stuff.
I was shocked that
online
that gangs use Twitter.
Why?
I don't know. I guess I was. I just didn't think that would be.
Well, I would think they have their own language. There are ways to convey information to vast amounts of people in kind of a hidden way.
And kudos, like you said, to the police department for monitoring.
You know, there are, and as I'm sure you're aware, there's a unit dedicated to gang activity, not just in Detroit, but in many communities, especially where the threats of gangs are real. And they take this stuff very seriously, and they are watching it wherever they go. I remember, and I'm sure you do as well, Jeff, when they had during the fireworks quite a few years back, right before we had the Super Bowls here, we had the Super Bowl committee in town when there was the major shooting where somebody went into the crowd and shot a bunch of people. A couple people died, and the Super Bowl committee was here. I don't know if you remember that. I actually did my show from across the main Detroit police station. There's a Subway restaurant, Kitty Corner, from there, and I did my show from there. It was pretty dynamic, pretty dynamic, right after the fireworks. So Anyway, that's that. So the fireworks are this evening, 10:06 p.m. Not sure why it's exactly at 10:06, but, you know, we start the show exactly 6 minutes after the hour, and they actually do simulcast radio, so maybe that's why they're doing it. I don't know.
They're carrying NBC News?
If that's what they're doing. I don't know. So that's the deal. If you want to go watch the fireworks, it starts at 10:06. Go early and go often.
You're not a big fireworks guy?
Never.
Just because of loud noises?
Nope. Just don't. I don't know what the big deal is about them. They've never ooh nod me at all. Don't like crowds to begin with, so that's part of the hassle. I can't fathom why you would. How long do the fireworks last? Does anybody know? Do you know, Anthony or Jeff, how long they actually last? Is it like an hour, half hour? How long do they? I have no idea. Anthony's gone. Anthony's gone to the fireworks. But I have no idea. Know. You don't know? I have no idea how long they last. And so why here? And it's just me, but why would you go through all that hassle to go downtown? Because it's a hassle. It's a hassle to find a place to park, and then you've got to go really early. It's just a hassle. I'm sorry. I can't imagine why somebody would want to do it.
Have you ever gone to Tiger games on Friday nights?
Yes.
When they have the fireworks?
Yes, absolutely.
Or you leave beforehand?
Absolutely. Interestingly, we went a few, I don't remember how many years ago, but we took the boys, Ann and I took the boys, and we were watching the fireworks after the Friday night game, and I literally had a spark land in my eye, and it burned the hell out of the corner of my eye. Fortunately, there was no permanent damage or anything like that. And I did tell one of the ushers that, that I didn't. Right away, somebody comes over and, you know, was very concerned that I needed medical attention. Nope, leave me alone. I'm fine. If I need to sign something, let me do it now. But do not hassle me because we're out of here as soon as this is over. And it hurt. I'm not going to lie, it hurt, but it wasn't the end of the world. So, yeah, I've watched that. But, it's not a big deal to me. I just don't get fireworks. I don't understand the spectacular that it's supposed to be. It's just not my thing. That's
see, coordinated firework displays and when you get a warning ahead of time, I'm down with. Especially, the 4th, no matter what, even though it's a Wednesday this year, there's going to be fireworks. August 17th, random fireworks guy is the guy that annoys me. And the fact that it could be like 2 in the afternoon, it could be 11 at night. He's letting off fireworks and it doesn't matter if you can see them or not. It's just the loud bangs and that guy is the annoying guy.
Well, interestingly, I was taking out the garbage yesterday, and I noticed there were some bottle rocket shells in my garbage. Don't know how that happened. So I'm sure that people enjoy watching that. People do enjoy. I've got a brother-in-law who is fascinated by lighting fireworks. I mean, this guy, and I'm sure that he's loving the law. That's changed. And we talked about this when I was up at Black Lake, you remember. And I did, by the way, finally hear from the guy that left a couple voicemails about the mortars that were going off in his neighborhood. But I was telling Anthony when I got back from Black Lake, we went out to dinner, and I was telling Anthony, Jeff, there was an article on MLive that I saw where a lot of communities are passing an ordinance. The way the law is written, the state law, is that you have 31 days throughout the year where the firing of fireworks, the actual lighting of fireworks is allowed by law. So it's the day before, the day of, and the day after a major holiday. So even Christmas would count. Now, the reality is most people aren't lighting off fireworks at Christmas, but I'm just saying that that would be one of the days you could do it, or the one of the periods. A lot of communities are passing ordinances that says, okay, outside of those days, you cannot use them. Now, remember, the conversation we were having last week was about use, right? Well, that's how a lot of these communities are dealing with it, is they're passing ordinances that are saying outside of the day before, the day of, and the day after, you cannot light off fireworks in any way, shape, or form, period. So that's how they're dealing with it for two reasons. Number one, it's the noise issue. And number two, it's the threat of fire. And that is a serious concern. And in fact, this MLive article that I read last week Somewhere just outside of Kalamazoo, there was a fire that was started because of bottle rockets. And, of course, it's been very dry, Jeff. We haven't had a lot of rain around the whole state, so it's been very, very dry. And these are things we need to concern ourselves with.
Well, plus, if you're not experienced as well, fireworks are very dangerous. And even if you are experienced, you know, something, things can go wrong. And actually, a friend of my parents, he used to have a yearly display. Hired two guys that knew how to do it. And they were very professional, had their own torches and everything. And, you know, accidents still happen, even though those guys have been so experienced lighting these off for years and years. And I trust those guys. I mean, they were good enough to make sure it was safe for everyone else. But one of them got, you know, injured one time when a firework fell over. And so that, you know, that's kind of dangerous. I like the time limit, you know, like a curfew. After 11 o'clock, no fireworks, period, no matter what day it is. You know, because people eventually go to bed and are sick of watching them and don't want to, you know, want to hear the pop and bang.
No, they drive me nuts.
Right. And I guess I wouldn't mind if you had that curfew, a time curfew, and then Fridays and Saturdays, fine. You know, weekends, celebrate the weekend.
We'll have to deal with it. I know it's coming next week and maybe even this week because the one neighbor I mentioned that used to set off fireworks all the time is still that neighbor, still there. I don't know. It drives me nuts. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, what many consider to be our finest president, happens to be a Republican, our finest president ever, had a persona that most of us, perhaps none of us, understood until this weekend. And the movie that portrays that skill set, unfortunately, did not impress at the box office. We'll come back and talk about that. Tongue firmly implanted in cheek. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up, and we start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. Since Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All right. So we're ready.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back indeed. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, Congressman Hanson Clark will be joining us in just about 15, 16 minutes from now, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Those of you that are fans of True Blood, and you can count me among those people, were probably as surprised as I was to learn that many years ago, President Abraham Lincoln was a vampire hunter. All right, I realize that's a joke, but Jeff and I were talking about this last week, and if you haven't seen the commercials for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, that's really the name of the movie. If you've not seen the trailer for that film, he's quite agile. I had no idea that Abraham Lincoln was that fit, because he didn't look that fit in the pictures I've seen of him. Jeff, just too funny. I mean, this is just too funny.
Yeah, it's, again, I didn't know them. And kudos to the documenters who found this information out and decided to publicize it.
Ann and I were, we go to the movies a couple times a month. And we were at the movies a couple weeks ago and saw the trailer for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. And we just kind of looked at each other and said, really? Really? Okay.
How do you come up with that idea? We want to do a vampire hunting movie. Who would be, in American history, would probably have been the best?
I don't know, but I would have picked, you know, Abraham Lincoln. I might have picked, I don't know, Andrew Jackson or somebody, but what the heck? Why not?
I guess. He's a lot more agile than I thought he was. He looks like a tall guy, you know, always wearing his hat and had his beard. But I just, man, the way he swings an axe, unbelievable.
I just, it really was really, really funny in its own way. And did not do well at the box office. Only took in just over $16 million, which is not a lot of money if you keep in mind that it was on 20-something hundred screens. Oh, well. I feel bad for President Lincoln. All right, that's enough. I just, and you know, it's one of those movies where you actually kind of want to see it. I mean, don't you, Jeff? Don't you kind of want to see the movie? I don't know that I would. I certainly wouldn't pay, you know, $10 to see it, but I'd watch it on cable.
Right, yeah, I'd wait till it comes out on, like, HBO or something.
Right, yeah. And I will. And I will. All right, President Obama. Get to some audio. We've got time in the next hour as well. But President Obama speaking this weekend about Mitt Romney, and he's going to be doing more of that. Oh, by the way, we're in campaign mode for those of you that haven't figured that out. President Obama says that we need to be careful when we listen to Mitt Romney and take him quite seriously when he talks about outsourcing. This is what the president had to say.
We can reform our tax code in a way that is fair and responsible, which, by the way, means let's stop giving tax breaks to businesses that ship jobs and factories overseas. Let's reward companies that create jobs and manufacturing right here in the United States of America. You know, Mr. Romney disagrees with this. You know, today it was reported in the Washington Post that the companies his firm owned were pioneers in the outsourcing of American jobs to places like China and India. Pioneers. Let me tell you, Tampa, we do not need an outsourcing pioneer in the Oval Office. We need a president who will fight for American jobs and fight for American manufacturing. That's what my plan will do. That's why I'm running for a second term as president of the United States.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, you know, you look at the reality of what Mitt Romney has done, and is, and then what we, these are job interviews, right? So we're interviewing Mitt Romney. We're saying one of the questions we ask ourselves is, as you can consider yourself to be a job creator. Now, he wasn't a job creator when he was governor of Massachusetts, of course. So we can't count that. And he really didn't create jobs when he, quote unquote, saved the Olympics, because the federal government actually provided the funding that the Olympics needed to stay solvent, interestingly enough. So we look at what Mitt Romney has done. And we do know that he's outsourced. We do know that he's fired a lot of people. And there have been a couple spotty successes along the way, but you have to understand that the responsibility of Bain Capital was to become and remain profitable at all cost. Those three words matter more than you perhaps comprehend, at all cost. And so if one of the ways to make money is to outsource jobs, Bain Capital and Mitt Romney would say, absolutely, let's do what we need to do. This idea that you can maintain a profit margin of, I'm just saying, 5% more by outsourcing a job, that is motivation enough to do it, then you do it, right? Well, I wouldn't, but certainly a Republican would. And I know, we've gotten it before from our callers that tell us that, these companies have a fiduciary responsibility to their board of directors to be as profitable as they possibly can. Well, they have a fiduciary responsibility to the corporation to do the right thing, to follow the laws, to make sure that they're doing their best to maintain the health and welfare of that particular corporation. But nowhere in the bylaws of any corporation does it say you need to be as profitable as you can possibly be, even at the cost of American jobs. It doesn't say that in anybody's bylaws. I assure you that's true. Yet the Republicans hold on to that mantra in ways that are quite scary. We know by virtue of the tech support calls we make or some of the products that we buy that can no longer be made in America. And we go back to our friend Todd Lipscomb at madeinamericaforever.com. And we look at his growing list of products made in America. And we understand that, it takes a commitment to support an American company that's doing the right thing by creating American jobs and providing American-made products that are sourced in America. But that takes work. Unless you're like Bain Capital and Mitt Romney and you just do whatever the fiduciary responsibility is to that particular company. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, and you will learn everything you need to learn about Mitt Romney. It's called The Truth, and you don't have to take my word for it. You certainly don't have to take the word of the President of the United States of America. I'm not asking you to do any of that. I'm asking you to go out and do your own homework. And what you will find out is that the truth, like everything else, will set you free. It is empowering. You need to be careful. If you vote Republican, as you did here in the state of Michigan, look what happens. Everything we care about goes away. We've got to be careful. Congressman Hanson Clark on the other side. Let's go fill up our coffee. This Monday morning First Shift program continues after this break.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we are accident free, but we do have a report of a construction barrel in one of the lanes on the Southfield Freeway northbound at Joy Road.
And you got road work that have all lanes closing starting tomorrow and going through August on Coolidge Highway at 12 Mile. And the fireworks start tonight, but they're going to start closing roads at 6 o'clock. That'll be Woodward between 75 and Congress, Jefferson between 375 and Griswold, and Monroe between Randolph and Woodward. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 76 degrees. Tonight, clear skies of 54. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 degrees, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. It's not a hurricane, but Tropical Storm Debbie is powerful enough to prompt warnings across the Gulf Coast as it brings high winds, tornadoes, and drenching rains to Florida. NBC's Bill Cairns.
The biggest threats, a lot of heavy rain, maybe even historic rainfall amounts in southern Georgia and the panhandle there of Florida. But as far as Florida itself is considered the lower part, tornadoes will be the biggest risk.
It's the economy, the focal point of the 2012 presidential campaign. But a new poll shows 6 in 10 feel the next president will have little or no impact over job creation. It's official in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood's Mohamed Morsi, the winner of Egypt's first free presidential election, he's pledging to work for all the people of Egypt. And this just in, Fruit Loops and Cocoa Puffs still aren't health foods. Nutritionists at Yale say while many cereals marketed to children have gotten a bit more healthful, they still typically contain a spoonful of sugar for every 3 spoonfuls of cereal. This is NBC News Radio. We could find out as early as today if President Obama's health care law is constitutional. At stake, the individual mandate requiring all Americans to have health insurance. NBC's Pete Williams.
When the justices heard more than 6 hours of oral argument in late March, they seemed deeply divided over the key issue. How far can the government go to make people buy something?
And that's not all. The High Court's decision on Arizona's immigration law also coming as early as today. Jerry Sandusky found guilty at his child sex abuse trial, but the case isn't over. At least 6 of his victims are deciding whether to file civil lawsuits against the former Penn State assistant coach and the university. And anti-smoking activists are fuming over a narrow loss in California, where an initiative to add $1 a pack for cancer research has gone down to defeat after being too close to call for weeks. That's a big win for big tobacco. No buts about it. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Maxwell, you're on.
Cool. And so you just want me to read the script? You don't want me to do the wee thing? Okay. Today I'm going to talk about the new Geico mobile app and how you can manage your policy and get your ID card and customize it with your favorite Geico character. But I'm not yelling we or anything, because they don't want me to, right?
Correct.
Okay, just saying it's my thing.
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir, I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir, I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
You've heard the term tough gig if you can get it. Well, that certainly can be said of lawyers. Wall Street Journal analysis of American Bar Association data find that people who earned law degrees in 2011 had little better than a 50-50 chance of landing a job as a lawyer within 9 months of getting the degree. The numbers suggest job prospects for lawyers, which had been viewed as weak, are even worse than first thought. Young people hard hit by high unemployment may want to rethink just what it means to pound the pavement. Among the small number of industries where job opportunities are plentiful is the long-haul trucking industry. The business seen decades ago by many as adventurous, even a bit romantic, is less desired by the young. Combine that with the high cost of training, as much as $6,000 for 6 weeks, and the fact many aging boomers are retiring all at once, you have plenty of trucker job openings. Stock markets down across the world, including here, S&P futures down 10 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Where were you when JFK's intern revealed their affair to Meredith Vieira?
The president came over to me and we went into the bedroom.
When Bob Costas confronted accused Penn State predator Jerry Sandusky.
If you're not a pedophile, then what are you?
And Brian Williams got the whole story behind Osama bin Laden's takedown.
We are inside the White House Situation Room for the first time.
Rock Center with Brian Williams, all new, all summer. Thursdays, 10, 9 Central on NBC.
Hello. Eyes on the road, I'll talk, you drive. Just wanted to pop in to remind you that every Honda certified used car comes with an outstanding limited warranty. And you know what they say about outstanding limited warranties. They're outstanding. And right now, well-qualified customers can get an awesome 1.9% APR financing deal on any Honda certified used car. Which means for a limited time, you can get both awesome and outstanding in one car. Which is pretty fantastic. Alright, I'm out of here. Oh, see your Honda dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-836.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 25th day of June, 2012. Well, you know, there's certainly plenty of bad news to talk about. Lots of negative stuff. In fact, as I was watching in the last hour, a series of fires have broken out on the east side of Detroit. Did a little homework during the break, and it's in the same area that had fires last week. It just kind of underscores the importance of not only having more firefighters, but more police on the streets in our communities. And my next guest is doing something about that by making sure that we continue to fund the police as best we can, no matter where we need police, whether that's at the state level or the county level or at the local level. Joining me now is Congressman Hanson Clark to talk about the JAG program for fiscal 2012, which will provide $6.5 million to the Michigan Department of State Police, and I want to welcome him back to our show. Congressman, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hey, Tony, it's great being on the first shift this morning, and yes, you're right. I've been an advocate for returning federal dollars back to Metro Detroit and to our state. I'll tell you why. The message that I tell the Republicans in Congress is, look, you guys in Congress failed to properly oversee and police the housing industry, the financial services folks that allowed our homeowners to go into foreclosure, force them out of their homes, and really ruin the tax base for many of our cities. So our cities and localities don't have the money now to properly equip their fire departments, hire EMS workers, and staff our police departments. So I asked and was able to receive over $6 million that could help make high crime areas safer, and also help give our young people a second chance in life. They may be involved with drug-related offenses, but if they're not violent criminals, they should get drug treatment as opposed to being sent to jail or prison, which can ruin their lives and thus cost taxpayers too much money. So that's one effort that I worked on. But the issue you raised about the fires in the city of Detroit, that's why I'm proud to say that I've been able to get through the floor of a House, the Republican House, additional money for firefighters so that we can hire our layoff firefighters and have them equipped to better protect our neighborhoods.
Well, you know, it's critically important that people understand a couple things. Number one, going back to your time serving in the House and in the state Senate, I'm talking about the state House and the state Senate, now serving in Congress, you have never, ever, ever abandoned your constituency, especially as it comes to creating safer, more profoundly comfortable communities. Now, listen, there are challenges. There's no question that's true, Congressman. But you have never given up on your constituency. In fact, you fight harder for them with every passing day, understanding the financial constraints of the state taking money away from the very communities that you represent.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And, you know, if we want to create jobs here and keep families in southeastern Michigan, we got to have safe streets and communities. No business wants to locate a neighborhood where they think they're going to get robbed, and no family wants to live in a city where they think they're going to get carjacked. So this is very important. And it's our money in the first place. I'm saying Congress redirect it back to us in ways that can better protect our families.
You know, it's interesting, Congressman, as we take a look, and people don't understand that Michigan is one of the larger donor states, and what they for those that don't understand what that means is that we send a lot more money to Washington D.C. than we give back, and so it's nice to know that there's somebody fighting, advocating to make sure that more of those federal dollars do come back home, especially at a time when they're desperately needed.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And also, too, when you invest in southeastern Michigan, that not only helps us who live in Michigan, but it also creates jobs for the entire country. Because, look, we got the folks here, you know, that worked in the plants that designed these cars. We can build the best products that can be sold worldwide. So we get a little bit of our money back here in Metro Detroit. We can attract business, train people, and sell these products and create jobs in other parts of the country the way we did for the past decades. We created millions of jobs for America.
Well, I want to make sure that people understand that although this $6.5 million is for the year 2012, you have already made a request and are advocating for similar amounts of money to come in to the state for 2013 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I do is I just keep fighting. I mean, people tell me, no, I just don't give up. And you finally get your point across, because people understand the logic behind it, is that Metro Detroiters can create jobs for everyone. But, Tony, I'll tell you this. The main money that I want to return back to people, it's the money that you make in your paycheck if you're blessed to have a job right now. Right now, there are folks who are working, who are earning money, but who don't have money because they're paying it out in student loan debt and mortgage debt. So that's why I'm making it very important that we do what we can in Congress to cut and forgive student loan debt, because at over $1 trillion, that's a debt that's really burdening our families. I mean, you look at our graduates. They worked hard. They were disciplined. They were ambitious. They've gotten their degrees, but now they don't have any money because all this debt they've got to pay back. Part of that money should be cut back, and we should allow the people who earn the money to be able to spend it and invest it, and that's how you create jobs.
Well, yeah, this idea, you spoke on this show not that long ago and talked about an 80-year-old woman that decided to go back to school and is still paying back student loan debt. We don't think about 80-year-old women having that burden, but it doesn't matter how old you are. If you have debt, you know, the federal government doesn't care. They want their money back.
Yeah, you're right, and that's the problem with student loan debt. There's no statute of limitations, so it doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've owed the money to the federal government, they'll come after you. And you can go broke. You can go bankrupt. You can't get rid of student loan debt in bankruptcy, but yet the student loans are really to help make this country stronger. Yes, the borrower gets a degree. Yes, they get value. Yes, they'll probably get higher earning potential. But when our country is better educated and trained, that helps the entire nation, because we're able to attract jobs back from China, from India back to the U.S.
You know, what do you make of Mitt Romney, Congressman Hanson Clark, who says that, you know, maybe you need to go to a school that you can afford. Instead of going to the best school that you can get into, you need to go into the one that you can afford. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, my goodness. The education's for all of us. You know, it's not just for the person. I think that's outrageous. And furthermore, what school can people afford right now? You can't pay cash and go to a school because tuition is way too high. So people don't have a choice. The choice is this: either borrow the money or don't get an education. That's outrageous. I mean, this country is founded on opportunity.
Yeah, well, it seems anymore that the access to opportunity is where we need to be concerned, because getting to that opportunity, meeting that threshold has become almost impossible, as you know. And one of the, you know, going back to, and I think it's important, going back to this JAG program, the $6.5 million that will be put to good use. You know, this is about, you know, when we have safer communities, we have safer schools, Congressman. This is not just about protecting people. It's about protecting institutions as well. Again, at a time where the state is cutting revenue sharing funds, where municipalities are having, and then the first thing they're cutting are public sector workers, whether they're firemen or policemen. This is a problem. This solves part of that problem. So this is good news.
Yes, thank you for saying that. And you're right. The most important jobs we have are our government employees, who really protect us. And we want to make sure that we have the money to hire them to protect our neighborhoods. And it also provides good-paying jobs that stimulates our economy as well.
Well, no question. I want to thank you for being with us this morning, Congressman, and I'm sure that we'll be seeing you on the campaign trail. Best of luck to you, and of course, we'll look forward.
I'm going to keep fighting the system to change the system so it starts working for us, because you know what? Enough is enough right now. People are fed up, and I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm not going to give up.
No, I think that's a message that's resonating with a lot of folks. Thanks again, Congressman Hanson Clark. We appreciate you joining us this early morning.
You're welcome. God bless.
You bet. Congressman Hanson Clark. Yeah, it's important. We look at, you know, we talked about the city of Taylor last week, where the mayor received an $8 million grant to rehire 32 members of his firefighting unit, and he doesn't want to take the money. Doesn't want to take it, because then how is he going to fund it down the road? By the way, there was an ongoing, they could read this, so this was a 2-year grant. It was something that could be in perpetuity, but maybe it's too much work for him. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Mayor Lamoureux to begin with, so this just one more reason not to like the guy. I could go on, but I won't. Thank you, Congressman Hanson Clark. We're going to be open lines on the other side. A lot of audio to get to, some local stuff, some national stuff, and, well, frankly, it's about you. So give us a call, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
In 2009, I took office in the face of some enormous challenges. Now, some have said I blame too many problems on my predecessor, but let's not forget that's a practice that was initiated by George W. Bush.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
You're still accident-free on your commute, but we do have some slowdowns on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 exit, and on 94 eastbound between Telegraph and the Southfield Freeway. And don't forget about, if you're heading downtown for the fireworks, you're going to have some closures of streets starting at 6 o'clock. That'll be Woodward between 75 and Congress, Jefferson between 375 and Griswold, and Monroe between Randolph and Woodward. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 76 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 54. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 degrees, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You could be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it, our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW, unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is to increase the likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
If you live within the boundaries of the city of Detroit, chances are you are unhappy with one Mayor Dave Bing. David is not having a good time right now, for a variety of reasons, and he seems to be making a lot of mistakes. And I would suggest that if there were election today and he had an opponent that was worth his weight in salt, Dave Bing would not be reelected. And that's just my guess, and I have based that on nothing but the those that I'm connected to in the city through this radio show, who have reached out to me in terrific ways to say, this dude sucks. And that's the way they feel about Dave Bing right now. Well, he had a little meeting with the city council about one Miss Crystal Crittenden, who is the city attorney, who he's trying to get, Dave Bing is trying to get to resign. She's not going away too easily. And anyway, the people of the city of Detroit are not happy that the mayor is playing this game. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to the back and forth that will go on here a little later on in this soundbite. But, folks, the mayor's got some, he's got some splaining to do. Let's go ahead and listen.
Mayor Dave Bing says he never wanted her fired. He just wanted her removed from her position as corporation counsel, so she would revert back to a lawyer in the law department. He came before city council prepared to read this statement, but he was not allowed to read it. Mayor Dave Bing arrives for the special session he requested before City Council. His purpose, to ask them to relieve Crystal Crittenden from her duties as Corporation Counsel. But instead of being allowed to speak, the mayor was treated to a barrage of criticism from the public.
I'm here in support of Crystal Crittenden.
Why pick on her when he has a whole cadre of highly paid and competent appointees who can't get their jobs done?
Is it only when it agrees with you that it's okay to follow the charter?
Halfway through the comments, the mayor's people requested he be allowed to speak due to time constraints, but that request was rejected.
The meeting starts with public comment, and so we're only halfway done.
Then he himself interjected and said he had to leave.
Mr. President, I have a conference call with D.C. that I'll have to go to shortly.
The meeting was recessed while he took his phone call, leaving an angry crowd to wait.
You are crazy.
Earlier in the week, Mayor Bing had asked Corporation Counsel Crystal Crittenden to resign because of her legal challenge to the consent agreement. She declined to resign, and City Council has indicated they support her. Late in the day, Bing called a press conference slamming City Council for a lack of respect. He says he'll send Council his statement and move on.
I think our council and its leadership must be more responsible and respectful to the office of the mayor and to the citizens of Detroit. They have turned this into a sideshow, and I will not participate. I think I should have been able to present my position, as opposed to sitting there necessarily playing games with people's lives. I don't have time for that. There's too much work to be done in the city. I'm done with that. I need to move forward with trying to fix the city.
Council President Charles Pugh saying the people need to be heard.
I don't know why he's offended that he has to listen to the people of the city of Detroit. These are his citizens.
His citizens who don't agree with him, and a pretty raucous day out there. Right now the mayor's saying that Crystal Crittenden can just stay where she is as Corporation Council representing City Council, but he will not have her represent him. He says he will seek outside counsel as his representative.
I don't know if that's the smartest thing to do, Mr. Mayor. You're already paying her to do a job. Why would you go outside and pay someone else? That is not fiscally responsible, is it? Is it, Mr. Mayor? Is it? I ask the question. Oh, my. I think Dave Bing has issues. What do you think? 888-552-3595. Those of you that live within the city, I know many of you, because you reach out to me, support Ms. Crittenden's aggressive style. I'm not saying bad. That's not a bad thing at all. She's just aggressive. She took the city charter and she applied it verbatim. As a result of that, it created a lot of conversation. I think it actually increased her stock and decreased the mayor's. That's just my opinion.
Do you wonder if something else happened? Is that all the reason? That's the entire, you know, beef between Dave Bing and Crittenden? Is because she took her job literally and thought that you know, she had to act on this?
I'm thinking that, and I could be wrong, that she did not, she just didn't consult the mayor's office before she filed this lawsuit and went public with it. I don't know that to be a fact, so let me say that up front, but I, you know, that's the case, then I understand where the mayor might be concerned, even upset with her. I'm getting the impression that they're not talking to each other, which is very junior high, right? We're not getting reports that, you know, even when the mayor, quote unquote, asked her to resign, Jeff, we don't know that he asked her that directly. If he sent her a note, an email, whether he called her or sent somebody over to her office, of course, she refused to resign because she's really done nothing wrong. Now, in all due respect to my friend Stephen Henderson, he called for her resignation or asked the mayor to fire her because it was clear that they weren't on the same page. And there are many in this audience that do not agree with Mr. Henderson's assertion.
Well, and like you said, it's coming off completely like here's a guy who's running the city, and because one person disagrees with them, he wants him fired. Like, dictator? What? I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. And maybe that's the mayor's office not winning the PR battle. Maybe they just haven't explained exactly what's going on.
Well, you're right there. I mean, you're head on right there. They're not winning the PR battle. And you do need to win that battle, by the way. Whether it's real or not, you need to win that battle, and they are not winning it. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Charles in Detroit. As always, Charles, a pleasure to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to let you know that actually, at first, the mayor told her to go ahead. There was closed session. And all of the mayor and the council in that session, she told them she was going to send a letter to the state and then file the case if not. And he agreed. He said he was with her at that point. The reason we know this is that council member Sontiel Jenkins, later on when he opposed her publicly, said that he had supported her in that meeting. So her initiation of all this was, you said that she didn't tell him. No, she told him that she was going to do it ahead of time. So, and he did, he sent her, as far as the last thing he said, he sent her a letter. But, you know, he does not have the support. It's a new charter provision, as you know.
Right.
Where that's the issue. And another thing, important thing, the judge in Lansing was wrong on the technical point in the new charter. It does give her the authority to independently take judicial action. Now, that is a very unusual law, I'll say that, and she herself testified against that provision when it was at the Charter Commission, and she said that publicly. The lawyers for the city all went in there and testified against that provision for the Charter Commission. But ironically, now it's in there,
and Charles,
she's the one with the power.
Absolutely. Let's be mindful that the reason that happened is because of one Kwame Kilpatrick. Oh, my, this is going to get really interesting. We're going to take a break. We'll get to more calls on the other side. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll be back. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
You're still accident-free on your commute, but we do have some slowdowns on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 exit, and on 94 eastbound between Telegraph and the Southfield Freeway. And don't forget about if you're heading downtown for the fireworks, they're going to have some closures of streets starting at 6 o'clock. That'll be Woodward between 75 and Congress, Jefferson between 375 and Griswold, and Monroe between Randolph and Woodward. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 76 degrees. Tonight, clear skies of 54. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 degrees, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. In a first for Connecticut, the New Haven Federation of Teachers will take over the running of a city high school as part of the city's ongoing school reform efforts. The arrangement may be unique in the country. Linda Tuhus reports.
High School in the Community, or HSC, was deemed a Tier 3 school, meaning it was among the lowest performing in the New Haven district. It was opened in the 1970s as a teacher-led school with a teacher facilitator instead of a principal, but those in charge still had to report to the superintendent. New Haven School Superintendent Reginald Mayo touted the cooperation between his administration and the New Haven Federation of Teachers since a landmark union contract was reached in 2009. Teachers Union President Dave Ciccarella said the contract allows heads of turnaround schools more discretion in staffing. In this case, it's the union itself that will decide which teachers will stay and which will be assigned to other schools. Turnaround schools also have longer school days and receive some additional support through the city. He said the students who return in the fall will see some changes.
They'll see some new faces, that's for sure. Many of staff have been retained as well. But they're also going to see a different curriculum, some new courses, some changes into the way we do things to keep them at the center and at the focus of what we do here.
The new theme is law and social justice. New Haven, as one of the 30 lowest-performing districts in the state, may be invited to apply for up to $2 million in additional state funding as part of Connecticut's just-passed Education Reform Initiative. Although there are five other turnaround schools in the district, Superintendent Mayo and Ciccarella said if New Haven is chosen, the funds will go to HSC. State Senator Tony Harp of New Haven said when legislators were working on the state's education reform package, they left out something important to New Haven.
And that is showing that the teacher union, if it wants to, can actually run a school and can show the way in which it runs the school actually makes a difference.
So she made sure that got into the implementer bill that was passed in this month's special session. She added,
we're going to push in every way that we can that the extra resources come here so that you can prove that teachers should be valued, and when they are, they make a difference.
The third time is not a charm for locked-out American Crystal Sugar employees. On Saturday, the workers voted down the company's third contract offer, ensuring the 11-month dispute will continue. The union has said the workers aren't unhappy with the company's wage proposals, and the primary disconnect is over proposals to seniority, qualifications for promotion, and health care. Workers have alleged that the company's goal is to break the union.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock, we are open lines until the top of the hour. So feel free to join me, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org, on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We welcome my friend Stephen Monroe to First Shift now. Steve, hope you had a great weekend.
Good morning, Tony. I hope you had the same.
I was in Monroe on Saturday, buddy.
Oh, you were?
I was at Dog Lady Island.
Well, you know, I don't know where that's at. I've lived there about 6 years, so I'm still getting familiar with Monroe overall. But we had a couple of graduation parties.
It was just off Dunlop Road, right off the expressway. But it's one of those things that if you don't know where it's at, you don't know where it's at. Anyway, I had a beautiful time. What's on your mind this morning, Steve?
Well, I just look at it this way. There's three terrible options for the city of Detroit, and they're all bad. You have, you know, this consent agreement, which is being blocked right now. Then you have an emergency financial manager, and if that doesn't get through, if this is continuing to be blocked on the other side, then the final thing is bankruptcy. I mean, I see those as three bad options. I mean, which one do you choose? I mean, I think the consent agreement is their best option, but if it's blocked, then you're going to move to the emergency financial manager, and if that's blocked, then you have bankruptcy, which is bad for everyone, real bad. That's what I see as a problem.
This is a problem. I mean, what we want, and we all want a viable city of Detroit. There's none of us that don't want to see the city succeed, of course. There's absolutely no benefit to that happening. So let's be honest about that. I don't disagree with you. I'm just telling you, it is one of these things where, man, oh man, and just historically, and Steve, thank you for your call. Historically, you know, if you stop and think about the relationship between the mayor and the city council, it's never been good, ever. Well, it's been a long time, let me put it that way. And Steve's right. All of the options at this point don't seem to be very healthy options. We need to commit to something. Let's go to, we'll go back to the phones again. Feel free to give us a call. 888-552-3595. Bomani in Detroit now joins us. Bomani, what's on your mind, my friend?
How you doing, Tony? You okay?
Good. Thank you. I'm fine.
Yeah, I think the mayor and Stephen Henderson and some of these other people who are causing Republicans are really out of order. I think they should call it the governor's bluff. You know, I mean, when New York was in trouble, the federal government wind up helping them out. You know, I think they should just wait it out. I don't think that they should acquiesce to the governor or the mayor or Stephen Henderson. I think they're all inappropriate and out of order myself. That's my personal opinion.
Imani, do you think that the best path, because what I'm hearing you're saying is the best path for the city of Detroit would be bankruptcy?
No, I don't think it's bankruptcy. I just think that they should let the federal government help them out.
But the federal government's not going to step up until there is an emergent situation. There's no emergency right now. So the federal government is not going to step up and help the city of Detroit financially until there is an emergent situation. And they're not seeing, I mean, you and I might see what's happening there as an emergency. This federal government does not.
Well, I don't know. I just think there's an emergency. It's an emergency situation.
Again, you and I agree on that. But, you know, what's it going to take? You know, is the mayor not doing a good enough job of conveying the reality to the federal government? I said this months ago on the show. Perhaps you heard me say it, that the federal government needs to step up and not give the city a loan. They need to literally bail out the city of Detroit.
Absolutely. I think they, just like they bailed out GM, you know, they stopped short. They should have bailed out the entire city of Detroit and helped it come back instead of us, especially since all these Republicans are doing all these crazy things in the city of Detroit. I think the government needs to come in and help them out.
Well, Bamani, really thank you. Thank you for your call as always. Let's be clear about this. What the GM and Chrysler got a loan, not a bailout. So there's a difference. And they're paying back those loans, by the way. 888-552-3595. Tony in Detroit joins us now. Tony, welcome to First Shift. You are on the air, my friend.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, yeah, what we need to do is be the democracy we're supposed to be. You don't have to submit to this this consent decree and. That is, if we do that, then we would be, we've already done it, but we can't make ourselves into a dictatorship, which is what is happening. We become a dictatorship. And this, Crystal Crittenden is one of the few people that has, you know, she's followed her job. Actually, she would be, a grounds for dismissal would be if she didn't do this, because her job is to look out for the interests of Detroit. As a lawyer, if you have a client, in this case Detroit, where she's if she isn't advocating for her client, that is an abdication of her responsibility.
Well, listen, she takes an oath. She takes a professional oath, Tony, that says, I will, you know, the way I equated it to so that people could understand it, it's similar to doctors doing the oath that says, first, do no harm. You know, the lawyers take a very similar oath, and she has to protect based on the law, Tony. She has to protect the city. And the law tells her, that, according to the charter, that what she did was exactly what she was supposed to do. And even those that disagree with what she did agree that she did the right thing, because it was what she was supposed to do.
She did what she was supposed to do, and it is the right thing at its base, because you don't enter into an agreement. You don't say to somebody that owes you money, not only do you owe us money, but you can take us over. It's like if somebody's like, I owe somebody something, and then they say, well, I can't give you I'm not going to give you the money, but hand me over your house.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll call it even. No. This is just not right on its face.
Nope, you're right. Tony, thank you so much for your phone call. I do appreciate it. And Tony's got it right. If you're listening to what he was saying, that's the way you need to be looking at this. 888-552-3595. I desperately want a healthy city of Detroit. I love the city of Detroit. Truly do. I love going down to the city of Detroit. I want it to be a happier, healthier place to be. I want it to grow. I want it to be economically viable. I want there to be more to do than to just go to the Midtown area and the casinos. I want to be sure that the families that live there, that thrive there, that grow there, are able to go to school there. Real public schools, not charter schools, not cyber schools. I want the city of Detroit to continue to have historic value. Many generations from now, I want to be talking about the significance of the economic necessity of a healthy Detroit and why in the year 2012 good things began to happen as a result of people working together because we had a common vision to return the city of Detroit to what it once was. Let's be mindful now. Let's be mindful that there are a variety. I have to tell you, I went to the Golden Gate Restoration Project, saw my friend Eric Shelley there. He walked me through some of these abandoned homes that, from an architecture standpoint, are gorgeous. Now, these are dilapidated homes. Most people wouldn't consider being found dead in them, sadly enough. But it is a reminder. It is a reminder of what Detroit was, and it is also an indication of what Detroit can once again be. We cannot give up on this idealized vision of what Detroit must be eventually. We can't let it go. We've got to continue to fight, all of us do, for a beautiful, safe, vibrant city. 888-552-3595. Tom joins us now. Good morning, Tom. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good. Welcome home, my friend.
Yeah, it's good to be home. You know, and in terms of what you're talking about, you know, your vision in terms of what you just laid out, I mean, it's exactly like the manner of speaking and how I feel about the city. I've been here since 1953. I've seen Detroit go through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, I mean, she's not real pretty right now. But, I mean, you know, I'm a realist and I'm an optimist. And the realism in me says this. Right now, Detroit is not a well city, okay? I mean, on the city business financial side. But, I mean, if you look at guys like Penske and Gilbert and Matt Cullen and some of those people, you know, I can't bring to mind to mention right now, with those kind of people here in the city, Tony, we're going to be okay. I mean, you know, those men and women, they don't, you know, live in the city proper, but they care about the city, and they put their money where their mouth is. They're just not out here yakking. I mean, because look at what Roger Penske's doing for downtown. The man's got a cleaning crew cleaning the streets up. I mean, you know, any time when they bring the Grand Prix out to Belle Isle, I mean, they go out there and they spiff that place up, and it is fantastic. And it's just a shame that because of the lack of finances and what have you, we can't keep it spiffed up. But, you know, like I said, I've been here since 1953, and I want to see Detroit, you know, will Detroit be what it once was? I don't think too many cities, once they, you know, fall out of grace, I don't think necessarily that they get back to what they once were. But, I mean, you know, to say whether Detroit's going to be great again, hopefully they can, but I don't think so. I think we have to look back at history in terms of, you know, the greatness of Detroit. But we are going, Detroit's going to be okay. When I was up, we went up to Cape Cod, up to Martha's Vineyard. Tony, I saw $3, $4, $5, $6 million houses, Tony, made out of cedar shingles. I mean, these places are huge and they're gorgeous.
Yeah, but I'm sitting. We got to get to the break, Tom. I appreciate, as always, the call and glad that you're back and you're home safely. I'm getting some email on this question of whether or not the city or the state owes the city money. Well, we'll come back and talk about it. I don't know that we're going to clarify much. And we've got more calls coming in. 888-552-3595. It's good to know Detroit's awake this morning. We'll take the break. And First Shift will continue right here on 1310 WDTW right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trio.
Barack Obama is a moderate progressive with the emphasis on moderate. Most socialists are insulted when Barack Obama is called a socialist. It's absurd that this man is a socialist.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry, but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5022.
Bureau Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. It is my pleasure to welcome former Michigan Lieutenant Governor John Cherry.
I'm watching today and seeing some of the positive developments in Michigan right now, and has been for, gosh, better than a year, has been leading the nation in terms of recovery. I mean, it's a slow recovery nationally, but Michigan is outperforming the nation in that regard, and that's a result of many of the things that were done in our administration to help Michigan survive this economic onslaught. And so you feel good about those sorts of things.
On 1310 WDTW. Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Tribbiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, Jeff sends me a note that on this day in history, in 1938, President Roosevelt signed the Fair Labor Standards Act, establishing, amongst other things, the minimum wage for workers. And we thought that Abraham Lincoln being the vampire hunter was impressive, huh, Jeff? 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. That's TONYTRUPIANO. All right, I got a handful of emails. Here's the deal, whether or not the city is owed money by the state. The state says the city is not owed any money, period. That's their position. They don't owe it. The city says, yes, we are owed $224 million. Now, I think the only way to resolve this would be through the courts, and I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. But that's why what Crystal Crittenden did was in some question. So, depending on who you listen to or who you want to believe, the city is still, yes, owed or not owed money. I know it's not right that we have to have this gray area, but it's there, and we just need to deal with it. Let's welcome Yolanda in Detroit to First Shift. Yolanda, thank you so much for giving us a call this morning. Good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Oh, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. As a resident of Detroit, and I've been a resident of Detroit for about, 17, 18 years, and it seems to me that every time we, the citizens of Detroit, try to initiate a plan to govern ourselves and to make the city a better place to live, for some reason, it seems like outside sources always come into the city and just take over and distract from what we, the citizens, are trying to do. Like when I first moved to Detroit back in 1998, I had a son that was 2 years old, and I was, looking at schools and everything. And that's when Detroit had a $93 million surplus for the schools. They passed a $1 billion bond to fix all the schools. And then all of a sudden, the state of Michigan takes over the schools.
Well, it's, you know, again, Yolanda, this goes back to something I've talked about on the show lots of times. Follow the money. You know, the state of Michigan has always tried to figure out a way to suck every dollar out of the city, whatever that resource is, whether it's a building, whether it's the fund in the school system. They don't care. They just want the money. The city, the state wants the city. I don't know why they want it, but they want it, and they want it bad.
Exactly. So I don't think a lot of it has to do with, you know, like the citizens here are not trying to get their house in order. It's just that every time we try to do it, some outside source comes in and debunks whatever we try to do.
I don't disagree with you.
We just passed a brand new charter. And it's like the charter doesn't exist anymore. I mean, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, you know, it reminds me, and thank you for your call, Yolanda. She's right.
Thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Think about what she just said. They pass a charter. Now, listen, we had lots of debate on this very program, pro and con, with the charter. But it was adopted, overwhelmingly adopted. So now those that didn't want it are now going to argue with it because they don't like when somebody like Crystal Crittenton does her job according to the charter. You can't have it both ways. You really can't have it both ways. And we do need to hold those people responsible that keep pretending that they can have it both ways. People like the state treasurer, Andy Dillon, who loves to play this game. And it's not a game. We're talking about people's lives here. You know, when you move somewhere, that's a commitment. You're not just lightly doing it. And now some people feel absolutely trapped in the city, not because they don't want to be there, because they do. It's because their property values, which weren't that great to begin with, have bottomed out. But what they pay in taxes continues to increase, and they pay those taxes. They get fewer services for it, and then what do they get? State intervention in an uncertain future. Is that how you reward people that have stepped up? Even those in the business community, is that how you reward them for stepping up and trying to improve the city? There's no question. Stop and think about this. There's no question. Detroit is not Chicago. Detroit is not New York City. I mean, we can go, you know, major city after major city after major city, and Detroit is not any of them. Yet we have this beautiful opportunity, this gorgeous destination on the water. Folks, you know, how many of you have ever been downtown Detroit, either when the sun is going down or the sun is going up, and experience the beauty of that? I mean, literally the visual splendor of that image. It is stunning. It is stunning. And then you think about, you know, historically what Detroit has meant and can mean and should mean. If for no other reason, and Tom articulates so beautifully when he mentions the Gilberts and the Penskes and the Illiches and others who have stepped up financially and said, we will do our part. And for the most part, you know, much of government has stepped to the side and said, yes, we will accept your role in leading the revival of this city, but it's not enough. It's not enough. It's a beautiful, wonderful start, but it's not enough. And I don't believe Detroit is that far from being that shining star on the hill and the horizon. I don't think they're that far away from being that. And maybe instead of getting in their way, we need to get out of their way. You also need a mayor that understands how to lead, and I don't believe Mayor Dave Bing understands how to lead. He is not friendly to unions. He is not friendly to Democrats. He claims to be one, but I don't see any evidence that there's any truth to that. There's nothing progressive in that man's heart at all, and I feel bad for him. I know that, you know, physically he's not well. I don't think he's quite healed from his colon surgery yet. I think he's very tired. I think that he is, in a way, and I hate to say this, I think he's given up. And he's taken the easiest path, and it is not always the easiest path that gets us the great reward, is it, folks? No. It is oftentimes the more difficult path. It is about taking risk, and the citizens get that. I'm not convinced Charles Pugh does. I'm certainly very convinced Dave Bing does not. And there are others. Folks, I think we need to trust in the citizens of the city of Detroit. They know better than anybody what that city needs, and they are not wrong. They have been sold out. We need to support them. Mark Brewer and Christine Berry in the next hour. The day is flying by, as it always does. Everybody stay where they're at and enjoy this anniversary of the Fair Labor Standards Act establishing the minimum wage. Let's take a break. We'll be back and continue with First Shift right after this.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Hey, checking your traffic. We do have a problem on 75 northbound at Dix-Toledo Highway. Want to watch out for a disabled vehicle. It's blocking the right lane in the construction zone and causing stop-and-go traffic from West Road. Also, it's a slow go on 275 southbound between 6 Mile and Ann Arbor Road, and they're watching brake lights on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 11 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 76 degrees. Tonight, clear skies of 54. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 degrees, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikliszewski. Will President Obama's health care law stand or fall? We could find out as early as today as the Supreme Court wraps up its term this week. NBC's Pete Williams.
The key question is whether the central requirement of the law that all Americans buy insurance is unconstitutional, and if it is, how much of the rest of the law can survive. We should have the answers to all these questions by Thursday at the latest.
Egypt's new president calling for unity and peace, the Muslim Brotherhood's Mohamed Morsi, is promising to represent all Egyptians. Many of his followers, though, see it as the beginning of an Islamic revolution. Need a job? Drive a truck. A USA Today survey shows a shortage of long-haul truck drivers from coast to coast that's pushing up freight rates. Trucking companies say it's hard to find qualified applicants. And was there any doubt a Pixar movie debuting at number one? Brave, the story of a Scottish princess who dreams of becoming an archer, raked in $67 million over the weekend. This is NBC News Radio. Debbie is no lady as the tropical storm churns the waters off the Gulf of Mexico, socking Florida with tornadoes and torrential rains. The Weather Channel's Mike Seidel says the west coast of the Sunshine State is taking a pounding.
We have a tornado watch for a lot of the state, at least until 2. That will be likely extended. And as long as we have the wave action like this and this onshore wind, we're going to have more beach erosion. I think that's going to be the story along most of these west coast beaches.
The most destructive wildfire in Colorado history keeps turning homes into ashes. The High Park blaze west of Fort Collins has destroyed at least 248 homes. Thousands in the Colorado Springs area have cleared out ahead of the Waldo Canyon fire. It's bearish on the international markets, and on Wall Street, futures point to a lower open. And when it comes to whipping up breakfast, nobody tops Corey Perez, the Canadian cook setting a new world record by cracking 3,031 eggs in 1 hour. What makes it even more exceptional, he only used one hand. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News Radio.
Ernie, I know you're our worst player, but I want you to win this thing.
How, Coach? I've been riding the bench watching Netflix on my tablet all season.
By running the play that would never work if this were a real game.
Sorry, all I know is that Netflix lets me instantly watch as many TV episodes and movies as I want.
Listen, son, when you get the ball, just chuck it. It'll go.
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
You're running a facility, safety is key. That's why Grainger offers over 70,000 diverse safety products, and that number's growing. Everything from personal protection gear and safety signs to online safety training tools, all to help you reduce injuries and downtime and keep up with regulations. You might say safety's our middle name. Yep, Grainger Safety, Grainger. Hey, you get the idea. Cut back on costs and worries. Call pickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is turning into one of those days in which news about the U.S. economy or U.S. corporations likely will be overshadowed by happenings in Europe. And as is usually the case, those happenings are not hopeful. Ahead of a summit meeting of European Union leaders, Greece makes public that its brand new prime minister cannot attend because he's recovering from eye surgery. Also, Greece's finance minister will miss the summit for health reasons. And a Spanish newspaper reports Moody's Investor Service will cut credit ratings on several of Spain's top banks after the close of U.S. stock trading today. Against all that, S&P futures are down 12 points. NASDAQ futures off 19, Dow futures losing 96. Economic clouds do have silver linings. One of them is oil prices. We're watching oil futures slide 85 cents to below $79 a barrel, as expectation for economic weakness gains more attention than the fact Gulf of Mexico oil production is on hold because of Tropical Storm Debbie. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Where were you when JFK's intern revealed their affair to Meredith Vieira?
The president came over to me and we went into the bedroom.
When Bob Costas confronted accused Penn State predator Jerry Sandusky.
If you're not a pedophile, then what are you?
And Brian Williams got the full story behind Osama bin Laden's takedown.
We are inside the White House Situation Room for the first time.
Rock Center with Brian Williams, all new, all summer. Thursdays, 10, 9 Central on NBC.
Hello. Eyes on the road, I'll talk, you drive. Just wanted to pop in to remind you that every Honda certified used car comes with an outstanding limited warranty. And you know what they say about outstanding limited warranties. They're outstanding. And right now, well-qualified customers can get an awesome 1.9% APR financing deal on any Honda certified used car. Which means for a limited time, you can get both awesome and outstanding in one car. Which is pretty fantastic. Alright, I'm out of here. Oh, see your Honda dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-836.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. We've got an empowering hour of radio for you. I promise that is true. Thank you, all of you who have sent emails over the last few hours. I appreciate it. Collectively, you folks are so much smarter than I'll ever be. But as a result of that, I get smarter every single day. So I want to thank you all for that. I do mean that sincerely. If you feel like joining us in the next hour, feel free to do that. Our number is 888-552-3595. That's toll free. You can always send an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. And, of course, you can find us on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's get our intro out of the way, and let's get this next segment going.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
This was really governed by press release. I think it is hard as possible for people to find out how to vote and actually get out and vote. They're doing everything they can to try to minimize turnout among people who tend to vote Democratic because they believe that that helps them maintain their grip on power.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And we do welcome back to our program the chairman himself, who I was fortunate enough to spend a significant amount of time with last Wednesday up at Black Lake, where Mark did a great presentation, was a rock star. Certainly the UAW rank and file members loved him. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tony. It was great to be with you last week. As I said then, I went from being at the Romney rally the night before to with you and my friends at the UAW the next morning. That was quite a dramatic shift.
I would think. And we're actually going to talk about your time with the following the Romney campaign in a few moments. But I do want to go back to, Mark, the war on women here in the state of Michigan. Now, there was a national war on women, and we saw what happened with Rush Limbaugh and the aftermath of that. And you know, at some level, you know, maybe we didn't expect it to hit so close to home. But when we see that, you know, solid representatives, people with a lot of credential behind them, State Representative Lisa Brown, Barb Byram, and others, are censured, literally having their voices taken away from them, and then to have a one of their colleagues go on another radio show and say that they were being scolded, they were getting a timeout. Well, that's just disrespectful, Mark, in my opinion. I'd love your thoughts on this.
Oh, no, actually, it surely is. Tony, somebody else said they were having a temper tantrum, and if that's not a sexist comment, I don't know what is. But, you know, it's not just in the House and in the legislature. I mean, we did have some Democratic legislators, including Gretchen Whitmer, basically called hookers last winter. You may remember that as well. That was in the Senate. We've got a Michigan Supreme Court, which has repeatedly condoned sex harassment in the workplace and said that women, Tony, who are raped in the workplace have no recourse against their employer. You got Senate candidates like Pete Hoekstra saying that the wage discrimination laws that protect women against wage discrimination are a, quote, nuisance and should be repealed. So no matter where you look in the Republican Party, Supreme Court, Senate, House, campaign trail for U.S. Senate, and we have the same war on women going on right here in Michigan.
Well, you know, Mark, we're going to, in a moment here, we had, and we're going to talk about, actually, we'll go through this now. We had Connie Kelly on the show last week. And in fact, we have Bridget McCormick on the show tomorrow. And we're going to have all of the candidates on. But as we were talking to Connie Kelly last week, we were talking about this, something you and I discussed last week on the show, which is about fairness. And we're not, you know, we're not asking people because the candidates were endorsed by the Democratic Party to necessarily vote for them just for that reason alone. We asked, Mark, people to, you know, vet these candidates. Part of what we're doing here on this show by having them on as guests is helping them vet these candidates. But we're just asking for fairness. And when I asked Connie Kelly that question, you know, why is she running and what does she think about the idea of fairness? She couldn't, of course, embrace that concept more than she did. And she has a judicial record. We know where she stands on issues because we can look at what she's done and say, yes, she's come down on the right side of families. But, Mark, she's been fair. Now we've got something to look at. We just need to make sure we're educating our audience. That's all.
No, that's right. I mean, that's what we're looking for on the Michigan Supreme Court. We're not looking for guarantees that the Democratic Party or whoever is always going to win. You know, that's not what we want. We just want a fair court where everybody, no matter what their background, whether they're from an insurance company or a big corporation or just an average individual, knows they're going to get a fair hearing. That the courthouse door is going to be open to them, like unlike now where it's closed to a lot of folks, and they're going to get a fair hearing in there. That's not the case we have now, but I think with McCormick and Kelly and Johnson, that will be the case. That's what we're doing. We're running to restore fairness to the Michigan Supreme Court. And part of that, I think, when it becomes a fairer, more moderate court, the anti-women rulings out of the court will cease. Will cease that women who've been harassed in the workplace, women who've been raped in their workplace, women who suffered discrimination in the workplace, will have a court where they will get a fair hearing, which they do not get now.
You know, Mark Brewer, as you know, there was a reading of the vagina monologues on the steps of the state capitol, and there were quite a few of my listeners were there. There were some journalists there, and one of them reached out to me and said, you know, Tony, privately, what I found remarkable were how many women that were there that we would consider to be senior citizens, 55, 65 and older. There were quite a few of them in that crowd. Some of them, Mark, are listeners of the show. Some of them reached out to me the next day and the day after that saying, I can't believe after the way we successfully fought in the 70s to make sure that this kind of stuff wouldn't happen, that we're actually having to fight this fight again. Now, they're gladly stepping up to do it. But, Mark, talk about disrespect for women in this state and in this country. This is just wrong.
Oh, no, you talk to folks who've been around a while and fought these fights before, and they just shake their heads, and it brings back terrible memories of the discrimination they used to suffer in the 60s and 70s. And we did think, apparently wrongfully, that was all behind us, and we've got to fight that fight again. I was encouraged by the rally, though, Tony, which was great, by the way. People stayed. It was huge. By the number of young people, men and women, who were there, who are taking up this fight as well. That's really, really important that young women not take these rights for granted, that they understand the assault on them and all of us, really, that's going on here, and step up and engage in the fight. And that was very encouraging to see that last Monday.
Well, no question that's true. And so whether it's the war on women, which is now real, I mean, it's as real as it's ever been. There might be some people that said we were making this stuff up. In fact, people listening to the show called, sent emails, said, oh, you guys are making this stuff up. We now know that to be true, Mark. I mean, there's nothing clearer in the messages that the Republican Party is sending. They don't care about law. They don't care about women. They don't care about consensus. They certainly don't care about negotiating. They have an agenda. They have the majority, and damn it, they're going to have their way.
Oh, that's right. Even if it means trying to silence people. It's not enough that, you know, you've got the votes and you can pass whatever you want. But, you know, they don't even want to hear the opposing arguments or let the opposing arguments get out there, that they've gone so far as to censor, you know, Representatives Byram and Brown on the floor of the House, which you'd think if there was one place in the state, Tony, that free speech was respected, it would be the floor of the legislature. But apparently not. But again, no, those who think or are skeptical of all this, you know, just look at the facts. Again, you know, the comments out of Pete Hoekstra, you can look at these decisions from the Michigan Supreme Court. You can see and hear the quotes from the Republican Party as they try to justify this censorship. This is not being made up. This is very real. It's going on nationally. It's going on here in Michigan.
You know, it was interesting. I was in the back of the room when you were speaking to the 450 or 500 or so UAW rank and file members that were up with us at Black Lake on Wednesday. And when you were talking about this supermajority and you were talking about how the Republicans had taken control of so many things, you could hear a pin drop in that room. These men and women were just stunned. And I would think, as I'm sure you're delivering that message wherever it is you speak, you know, people are and as politically aware as people can be, they can't know everything. When they get that message, like these folks did last Wednesday, they're stunned to finally, Mark, wrap their head around the reality that unless we step up and do something this November, it's over. I mean, it is really over.
No, that's right, Tony. I think people do, I hope, finally realize just what a situation that we find ourselves in. The Republicans, you know, to their credit, they are disciplined, they're focused, they've got an agenda. You know, they weren't lying, you know, when they said these are the things we're going to do. We're going to, you know, try to dismantle the labor movement in this state. We're going to take away the rights of working people and consumers and women and minorities and others. And they're very systematically about that. But as we all know, the great place where this all comes home, where the great leveling occurs, is in the polling place. I mean, the Koch brothers, between them, got two votes. So the rest of us, we got a vote each. And if we all come together and turn out and vote, that'll be the answer. It was really interesting, though, Tony, all the questions I took of questions about what this court is doing, what that legislature is doing, what the governor is doing. It all comes back to the ballot box, that you can be upset about those decisions, but they're in power, and until you turn out and vote and elect different people, those kinds of decisions and actions are going to continue.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest, and he's with us every Monday right at this time. When we come back, we'll talk about his time with the Romney campaign last week. You'll want to stay tuned for that. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Let's take a look at your traffic. Let's head over to Ecorse Road at 275, where that ramp is closed due to debris in the roadway. Also, we got some reports of tire debris in the left center lane. Now, that's on 96 eastbound, just after Livernois. And we're still watching that disabled vehicle that's blocking your right lane in the construction zone on 75 northbound at Dix-Toledo Highway, and it's causing slow traffic from Gibraltar Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 76 degrees. Tonight, clear skies at 54. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 degrees, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and pay time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
Joining me now is Ed Montgomery. Ed was appointed by this White House as Director for Recovery for Auto Communities and Workers.
Take Michigan, for example. Since July of 2009, manufacturing has added about 161,000 jobs. Of that 161,000, half of those jobs have come in the manufacturing sector. So, you know, half of our progress in Michigan has been through the rebirth of manufacturing. I think you can't underestimate the importance of automobiles, which stimulates not only bringing back people in the auto factory, but all up and down the supply chain, the people who make the glass, the people who make the steel, in terms of revitalizing manufacturing altogether. And that's really comes from the president's policies and leadership.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift. and Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. Mark Brewer does not sit in his office in Lansing and direct people to follow campaigns or to show up somewhere. He's the guy that's out there doing the work himself. I didn't say dirty work on purpose, because there's nothing dirty about the work that he does. Last week, as many of you know, on Tuesday, Mitt Romney, well, he flew in, as the bus drove in, he flew in, because God forbid he wouldn't want to take a bus anywhere. And, well, he visited a couple communities here in the state of Michigan. Mark Brewer went along for the ride and is here to report on what met him. And, Mark, curious to hear how that went.
Oh, it was great, Tony. And actually, one of the best parts of this job is getting out and seeing people at Democratic Party events, but also when we go out there and serve as a Democratic Truth Squad at these various events. So I was out in Holland last week at the third stop on Mitt Romney's tour. A lot of great local Democrats out there. A lot of Democratic activists, labor activists were there. Mitt Romney knew we were there. They did their best that they could hide us in our signs and keep us away from the Romney bus, but he knew we were there. We didn't disrupt anything. That's not our goal. We do have a right to be heard and, you know, to talk to folks that were there and talk to the press. So it was a great day. I enjoyed it very, very much. And, again, our message was heard despite the big Romney photo op on the beach in Holland.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Mitt Romney felt that he needed to address the quote-unquote protesters that were there and use that as an opportunity to give some examples of why 4 more years wasn't a good idea. What I found interesting about that, Mark, is he didn't need to do that. He didn't need to mention the protesters. He chose to do that, which really says something about maybe how secure he is in his positions, how secure he is as a candidate. Most candidates wouldn't have mentioned the protesters. In fact, the protesters were 100 feet away from him, yet he still chose to address them. I just thought that was a bit odd.
Yeah, the rally I was at in Holland, it was really interesting, Tony, there afterwards. You know, as the crowd was leaving, there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm, frankly. Wasn't a really energized, pumped-up crowd. I didn't think it was all that big, frankly, kind of perfunctory. You know, and that's a very Republican area of the state. And you'd think there'd be great enthusiasm out there for Mitt Romney. So I was actually, you know, rather unimpressed with this rally. Just seemed to be kind of going through the motions. Now, that being said, you know, we were out there to make sure that people knew Democrats were around. We were making sure our message got out in the press. But I would think, if you're reflecting on it, Romney had to be a little disappointed with his tour last week. There were Democrats and Democratic spokespeople at every one of those events pushing back and making sure people understand that, you know, with somebody like Mitt Romney, it's all about Detroit going bankrupt. Matter of fact, there was a plane circling overhead at the Holland event towing a banner that said, you know, Mitt Romney, let Detroit go bankrupt. So he couldn't avoid that even as he was speaking in Holland.
All right, let's take a quick call, and then I've got a question about his choice of places to go on this tour, but I'll come back to that in a moment. Herb joins us from Northville. Herb, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Morning, Mark. Morning, Tony. I've been reading some of the coverage of the Romney bus tour and the protest at it, and a lot of the comments, a lot of the negative comments from people who get their information from right-leaning blogs or whatnot, they're putting out the accusation that the protesters were paid by one of the unions or something, and it's, you know, it's like, other than saying that's really ridiculous, we don't have enough money to go out and actually start paying protesters to stand there and wave signs. But other than saying, though, how do we counter that? How do we, like, reply to that sort of thing? Because it's very, very prevalent on the right that they're saying that protesters are being paid.
Well, I mean, and Herb, thanks for the call. You know, Mark, the best way to respond to that is by just saying what they said, that it's ridiculous to think that the unions are paying people to protest. Unfortunately, if somebody believes something, as you and I both know, they believe it. So we can only tell them the truth and not worry about it.
No, that's exactly the case, Tony. I mean, again, I was out there in Holland. We didn't pay people to turn out there. People are motivated by, you know, what the, first of all, what the president has done to help this state, but also by, you know, their great concern and opposition to Mitt Romney and his policies. That's what motivating these folks out there. There is not a person there getting paid. That's just ridiculous. It's a, really a desperate attempt by the Republicans to try to spin away the opposition to Mitt Romney, which is real, and it's at the grassroots level.
All right, so let me ask you a question. I on this quote-unquote Midwest tour that he was on, everywhere he went, every state, almost every community, the economy is strong, it's growing, employment is getting better, yet his message is the economy is awful, we're losing jobs, this president's terrible for the economy. Now it gets even more interesting, Mark. Because as we take a look at, again, we have not 100% been able to confirm this, but when you're getting it from 10 or 20 different sources that the Romney campaign is asking governors not to talk about how well their state, Republican governors, not to talk about how well their states are doing economically, you begin to wonder if he does have a bigger problem than he realized he did to begin with.
Well, I think that's right. I think that he's having a hard time with this economic gloom and doom message, you know, particularly here in Michigan, where we know that, you know, without the rescue of the auto industry, the state would still be in a terrible, terrible depression. And in fact, we're coming back. We're adding jobs. We're not out of the woods yet. We had such a deep hole to climb out of, thanks to President Bush and his policies. But we are making progress in that regard. So I think he's got a hard way to go. And there was a story last week that the Republicans were telling Republican governors, look, tone it down. Don't talk about all the good news that's coming out economically. And I think I've seen a little bit out of Snyder, actually. He seemed to really tone down his comments in response to, I think, that kind of advice. But, you know, I think the voters can see through that. They know better than that. But it's really a sad commentary, Tony, when we've got the Republicans starting with their presidential candidate hoping that the economy will do poorly to help them politically.
Yeah,
that's a terrible thing they have to be doing.
That was the other part of that, is you begin to wonder, you know, are they having these meetings? And, you know, we've, of course, you know, and what I do, we talk all the time. Are Republicans sabotaging the president? Are they sabotaging the economy? Are they secretly saying, or maybe not so secretly saying, hey, listen, we need to slow down the recovery. We've got an election coming. I mean, Mark, these are very real things that are and could be happening.
Well, that's right. And you don't have to make it up, Tony, or imagine it. Just go back to the statement of Mitch McConnell a couple of years ago now, where he said very publicly, our goal is defeat Barack Obama. That number one goal. And this was long before the election, but you can see that kind of statement, that kind of attitude playing itself out in various ways. The Republicans are blocking a major transportation bill that is sitting in the United States House that could create hundreds of thousands of construction jobs around the country. And that's just the latest example.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, thanks so much for your time. We'll visit again next Monday. We're just out of time for today.
Thanks, Tony.
As always, my pleasure. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Get more information, MichiganDems.com. We'll take a break. Christine Berry, blogging for Michigan in our Blog Roll segment when we continue right here on First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's take a look at your traffic. Let's head over to Ecorse Road at 275, where that ramp is closed due to debris in the roadway. Also, we got some reports of tire debris in the left center lane. Now, that's on 96 eastbound, just after Livernois. And we're still watching that disabled vehicle that's blocking your right lane in the construction zone on 75 northbound at Dix-Toledo Highway, and that's causing slow traffic from Gibraltar Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 76 degrees. Tonight, clear skies at 54. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 degrees, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Joining me now is Madeline Coonan.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
To measure how our economy is doing, media outlets keep a constant eye on the Dow Jones average. But they're like cats watching the wrong mouse hole, for the great majority of Americans have between zero and next to nothing in the stock market. The economic measure that matters most to most folks is the Doug Jones average. The Doug is concerned about such key indicators as the pump price on a gallon of regular, the subprime value of today's 7.25 minimum wage, and the impact of global inflationary pressures on the cost of a six-pack. So, how are Doug and Dottie Jones doing? The number crunchers at the Federal Reserve have just answered that for us. Not well. Not well at all. In its latest survey of consumer finances, the Fed found that from 2007 to 2010, all but the wealthiest 10% of American households had been downwardly mobile. The median net worth of U.S. households tumbled in those 4 years by a startling 39%, falling to the lowest level in 20 years. In short, Americans are not merely feeling poorer, they are. Foreclosures, lost jobs, wage declines, and other reductions, combined with rising costs of everything from gasoline to child care, have become the norm, shoving many proud middle-classers into poverty. Yet, Washington remains fixated on the Dow Jones average and the stock market elite, with Republican leaders even clamoring for a return to the disastrous policies of trickle-down economics that caused this decline. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, 3/4 of Americans today have more invested in their aging cars than in stocks. With the consumer economy busted, America's cars are now, on average, 11 years old. Restoring American prosperity begins with restoring the Joneses to the middle class. It's percolate-up economics that we need, not tinkle-down.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. I promised a sensational hour. Well, the first half was fine. Great. Exactly what we wanted. The second half, I promise it'll be just as good. Let us once again get our intro out of the way, and let's get this thing going.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog world.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, as the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And joining us now is Christine Berry from bloggingformichigan.com. Welcome back to the Blog Rolls segment. Christine, is always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I always feel so pressured to perform after that intro. But it feels good.
Well,
yeah.
you know, it's all about you.
Oh, I love you.
Well, we appreciate you live blogging the show during the week very much. I mean, we really do appreciate it. We enjoy it. Of course, the whole raccoon thing last week and was quite interesting, and how we ended up there. Oh my, oh my, oh my! But you know, that's the beauty of live radio, Christine. Is you never know where it's going to take you.
Yeah, and I came in during that. So when I turned on Tony Trupiano that morning, I heard raccoons versus kitties, and I didn't understand what was going on. But
I'm not so sure I did, and I was involved in it from the beginning. So we'll take that for what it's worth. Anyway, we have you here today to talk really about something that I'm asked about this all the time. So I not only have I printed off your latest blog posting, I'm going to be carrying it with me and passing it out along the way. Let's talk about being the if you will, not necessarily the 5-minute activist, but the instant activist, because, you know, Christine, at some level, people want to get involved. They just don't know how.
Right, exactly. So don't know how, or they automatically exclude themselves from the process because they think it's just not possible to carve out any time or resources out of their lives. And that was the approach that I was taking with this one, was kind of way I framed it the way I did, you know, how to get involved when your life is nuts. Because everybody can identify that, you know, life is just too crazy for me to attend a meeting or for me to walk in a parade or go door to door. Well, you know, that's true for a lot of people, but here are some ways that we can still be engaged in the process. So I kind of brainstormed on it and came up with 5 simple ones that would work for anything. And then I put in some specific examples for, you know, when you want to individualize it or kind of customize it for your own issue, okay? So first of all, let's take it from the perspective that maybe you don't want to be active around a candidate or maybe an organization. So you just care about something and you don't know how to help with that. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we see a lot of local food activists out there now, for example. So people who are interested in kind of growing their own food, making sure it's close to home. They want to get out of this industrialized food system. So maybe you feel passionate about that, but you don't know what to do about it. So what I'm going to do, Tony, is give you 5 examples that I put up in my blog. Stop me when you want to, but otherwise I'll just keep going here. The first example that I put up there were to use things like wearables or stickers or some really small literature drops. So in other words, hit up Cafe Press or Spreadshirt or some other online site or place that allows you to wear your message. Just put a slogan on a shirt or a URL if there's a website that represents your feelings on this. And you can, you know, wear your message is how I put it. So people can see it. A lot of people don't pay attention to T-shirts and bumper stickers, but some people will be intrigued and look it up, and other people will agree with you and maybe approach you and, you know, start talking to you about it, and now you've got someone to network with.
Yeah, and you can almost bet that, because you and I have both seen this and experienced it, where someone will say, where'd you get that shirt?
Yeah, exactly. How can I get one?
Right. Mm-hmm. And you write that this isn't about selling merchandise, because that's not what it's about. And you can just tell people, hey, just go over to wherever it is you did yours and just make it up, and you can wear your own shirt. You know, you can do it that way. But it's important because people like to express themselves, and sometimes, let's be honest about it, people might be too shy to approach somebody, but they aren't too shy to wear a shirt that might say what it is they want to say. Or I love one of the things you wrote about, which is making business cards and dropping it in with your bills. That's another, and I know a lot of people that do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In fact, one of our listeners, every time she sends us something in the snail mail, she writes a message to her postal workers at the post office letting them know that she supports them. Now, I don't know that they're all reading it, but I think it's awesome that she does that.
Oh, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I like that business card idea because it's just so easy to hand out business cards. Or, you know, I've read a lot of people will take them and just kind of slide them into a library book when they return it or something. I don't know if that's appreciated or not, but there are a number of ways you can get creative with distributing business cards.
All right, well, number 2 on your list, you said build a social network. Now, I would think everybody, almost everybody that's listening to us, has already got that one taken care of.
Well, I hope so, but the social network that you use with your friends and family could be a little bit different than the social network that you use for activism. For example, in our local food scenario, you might want to share information about what your county commission Board of Commissioners is doing, what the state is doing, what, you know, Washington's doing. Your friends and family might not care about that, but there are a lot of people out there you don't know who do care about that. So if you start a Twitter feed and a Facebook page for those things and you stay focused and you just start tweeting information that you get from through FOIAs or web searches or RSS feeds, now you can start providing information to other activists and bloggers and people who are just interested in the topic. And that's where the real power of this one comes from. And you don't even need to take the time to express or articulate your opinion on it. You can just broadcast the information with the source and somebody will pick it up.
Right. And again, I often think people, you know, they just don't realize that sometimes it can be as simple as fill in the blank or as difficult as fill in the blank. But you need to make the effort to begin with. That's the point that we're trying to make here. You know, as Christine says later on in this piece, that if you're having difficulty, you know, she wants to know about it because she wants to share that information with people. But, you know, sometimes you can, this goes back to our discussion the last time we had you on, when we talked about the personal legislative agenda. Sometimes it's about as simple, especially at the local level, of knowing the school board member or knowing the city council member and asking them, hey, would you mind forwarding to me, the minutes of the last meeting? When you get them, because that's all public information, by the way. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily it's going to happen, but nobody says it unless you ask. You can't be told no.
Exactly. And, you know, fortune favors the bold, really. Go out there and ask for what you want. If they tell you no, then they tell you no. But at least you've got your next step defined. You said no, well, then I got to get it from someplace else.
All right. Next on your list is an interesting one. Comment on Internet articles like those at the Mackinac Center, MLive, or Detroit News. And that can be a little bit scary for some, but it could be a lot of fun for others.
It doesn't have to be scary. The right-wingers out there, and I am going to point my finger at them because they're guilty, they're just so nasty. But a lot of them are paid to be there. They're paid to do that. They're not paying any attention to anything. They're just making it nasty because nobody wants to play in a cesspool, so they make it a cesspool. But, I'm encouraging people to go in there, and if you don't have to talk to the right-wingers. You can just comment on the article and leave, or you can comment and say, hey, you know, Christine is right about that, because I'll comment if there's something that, really interests me enough to respond. But it's important that we have pushback on this, because there are so many people reading who aren't commenting, and we don't want them to get this garbage unfiltered. So, and by unfiltered, I just mean unchallenged. You know, we want to be there to say, no, here's the link that shows that you're wrong. Here's the link where you contradict yourself, that kind of thing. So that's why I'm encouraging. One of your callers last time I was on encouraged that as well. So it was a great form of activism. So it doesn't have to mire you down. It doesn't have to get nasty. Just pop in and drop your truth on them and leave.
Really, and it can be that it can be that very simple, especially when you do understand what Christine just said. In fact, another one of my listeners is one of those people that says, just go to Craigslist and you'll see the ads. How you can make money posting on websites. You don't even have to be smart to do it. They just send you the talking points. You just literally copy and paste them to all of these discussion boards, and that's the end of the story for them. They get paid, and everybody lives, well, not so happily ever after. But it's important that it is counteracted. It's important that you don't take it personally, because these people don't personally know you, and they never will. So stick to the facts and know that eventually some people are going to go, you know, they're right. They're right. The facts are very interesting.
Yep, exactly. And it's so easy to do, especially if you have a Facebook account. So the next one on the list, contact your elected representatives, is probably the most powerful thing, Tony, because you're interacting with the people who are directly involved in the process. And I put a few tips in here for people who've never done it before.
All right, and I'm going to ask you to hold those tips till after the break, okay? And then we'll get to those tips, and then we've got one more to get to, and then we're going to make instant activists out of everybody. That simple. Woo. Christine Perry is with us from bloggingformichigan.com and also christineberry.com. That's Barry. This is the Blog Roll segment as we take our break, our last break of the day, in fact. We'll come up and wrap up things in the Blog Roll segment and on the show, give you a little preview on tomorrow. Lots of great stuff to get to you. Don't go anywhere. First shift isn't quite over until we do this. We'll take the break and be right back.
First shift with Tony Trivino.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Jim Peterson, you just retired, so why would you want to step up into this role of candidate and ultimately, of course, with the goal of being elected to the state house?
Well, Tony, after watching this train wreck of a legislature and governor stumble from one anti-union thing, anti-worker thing, anti-retiree thing to the next, I couldn't not do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back. We got to hit the ground running. We got a lot to get to. We do not have a lot of time to get to it. Christine Berry is our guest with Blogging for Michigan. .com. This is our blog rolls segment. We are talking about instant activists, just add interest. Christine, you are on contact your elected representative. You had some tips to share with us, so let's get to that.
All right. So when you contact the representative's office, there's a couple of things to keep in mind. First of all, you're going to have to give your name and address, and if you don't, your opinion might not be registered. If you're nervous, just prepare some bullet points or a statement ahead of time, and it's not as bad as you think. But if you're nervous about it, do that. And you'll be talking to a staff member or an intern most likely, so you want to make sure that they get your message accurate. So be sure to have everything that they need to understand what you're saying. For example, if a new intern comes in, that new intern might not be up to up to par on all the legislation, so they end up taking phone calls on a busy day. You want to make sure they understand what you're talking about, so just make sure you have the bill number or the name of the bill or whatever. If you're trying to reach D.C., that's going to be a little bit harder because of the homeland security things they have out there. It's just easier to work with the local office.
All right, very good. Yeah, that's a good one. And I also want to let people know, these are, even if you think these people are going to disagree with you, they're not going to be rude. They're not going to give you a hard time. I really want to stress that. They're going to be actually quite professional, very nice, and they will listen to what it is you have to say. They will do that, I promise.
Yeah, and if I could add to that, if you try not to express your anger too much toward them, there's no point in venting on a staff member or an intern. and be as professional as you can. Over time, that'll pay you back. If you contact them repeatedly, you'll end up building good relationships there, even if they're not on the same political side as you.
You got that right, Christine. That's a great point. And last but not least, maybe the toughest one, but maybe the most important one as well.
I agree. Talk to your friends and colleagues. Now, we don't want to alienate anybody, but this is very powerful to be able to talk to somebody you have a personal relationship with and say, hey, this is how politics is affecting your life. And nobody wants to get in trouble at work. I very rarely talk about politics at work, but I do have a coworker who I use the Affordable Care Act in my example. He's able to stay on his parents' insurance, and so, I saw an opportunity to talk about that. And it worked out. Now there's, I put a link in the article, it's a link to HuffPo that has some simple, it's like 5 or 6 tips on how to diplomatically talk to another person about sensitive topics. So, I would, hope people would check that out.
Go to blogging, formichigan.com, they're going to get to the post with all the links to it, including, by the way, the comment or the conversation we had last week about your personal legislative agenda. So you might want to check that out again if you missed it, especially. And then of course the post at HuffPo, which has all the interesting information. It's fascinating, Christine Berry, as we look at yesterday. I had just briefly mentioned something that kind of spiraled into a political conversation. Now you're probably thinking, well, Tony, you're having political conversations everywhere you go. That's not true. Not everybody in my life is politically active, and that's actually by design. I don't always want to talk politics, Christine. Sometimes I need a break from it. Yep, I said it out loud. Sometimes I need a break from it. Yet this conversation steamrolled into a conversation about politics and reminded me why I don't talk politics with these people, and I'm just going to leave it there in case any of them's listening.
I have some people like that, too. I simply refuse to talk about it. I know if I get engaged with these people, I am going to crush them, and I want them to be my friends. So
thank you.
Don't do it.
So beautifully said. Oh, my God. Well, listen, I will never crush you, I promise. And I love you dearly. Thank you so much for everything, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, thank you for having me.
You bet. Christine Berry, bloggingformichigan.com, and as well as Christine Berry. .com, and you can just B-A-R-R-Y, by the way. Before we get to an announcement, I want to mention, just because I care, I really do care, and even though somebody reminded me yesterday he's given money to Republicans, A, he's a Canadian. You know what I'm talking about? Alex Trebek. Jeff just said she's also a supporter of the raccoon movement. Funny stuff. Alex Trebek suffered a mild heart attack yesterday. He is recovering nicely in a Los Angeles hospital. I happen to have a lot of respect for Alex Trebek. All right, so he's given to Republicans. Big deal. Somebody's doing it, and he's wealthy. Maybe he's even part of the 1%. I don't care. I enjoy Jeopardy. I don't want him to go anywhere.
Who is Tony's second favorite Canadian?
That's right. Second favorite. Nobody even asked me who my first favorite
was. I know.
Was.
I noticed that.
No one asked, so I'm not gonna say. And
did you notice I formed my answer in the form of a question?
In the form of a question, absolutely. So did one of our posters on Facebook. So we want to wish Alex Trebek well, and it's my understanding that he's going to recover nicely when they start their new season in about 30 days, which is when they are going to start filming. Do they film? They don't film anymore, do they? They don't use film anymore. They use digital media.
Do you think he gets tired of hearing the form of a question? Like he's in the hospital right now,
oh,
and the
yes.
doctors are like, what is someone needs to take better care of themselves?
Yes, he absolutely does get that, and I'm sure he's sick and tired of it.
Oh, good pun. I saw that. I like what you did there.
I don't know. That wasn't intentional. Anyway, let me just remind you, that all silliness aside, especially as it relates to what I'm about to talk to you about, AT&T last year made $20 billion. That's billion with a B. That's a lot of money. And they did it a lot of different ways. Number one, by providing less service to you, by cutting their workforce and forcing their union labor to work a lot of overtime. Well, you'd say, well, why would they do that? Doesn't that cost them more money? No, in the end, it doesn't. But it will, because we are going to start walking away from them. We'd like them to be better corporate citizens. My friends at the Communication Workers of America remind you that if you go to ATT.com, you can send them a note just asking them to remember who made them the successful company they are today, and it's the rank and file AT&T customers that are out there right now. Many, many people are with AT&T because they are the only union communications company option out there. All we're asking them to do is be a better corporate citizen. That's not too much to ask from some of us who have helped provide that $20 billion in profit. How much is enough, folks? ATT.com. Send your displeasure today. All right, that's going to clean it up for us. Chris Mihalakis tomorrow, that's for sure. We got a lot of great stuff coming up tomorrow, so don't worry about that. We'll take good care of you. That is my promise to you. We will take good care of you tomorrow. The day's over, so now we go get ready for the next one, because what we do here at First Shift never ends, ever. And we're not complaining. We're pretty happy about it, actually. Well, we're out of here for today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much for what you do. Off the air, Tony@thetonyshow.org, Tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we got two brand new accidents on your drive. So let's go to 75 southbound at 12 mile, where your right two lanes are blocked, and it's causing stop and go traffic from 14 mile. On 94 westbound, just before US 23, your left shoulder is blocked. Still watching that disabled vehicle that has your right lane blocked in the construction zone on 75 northbound at Dix Toledo Highway. And Ecorse Road at 275, that ramp is blocked due to debris. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 76 degrees. Tonight, clear skies of 54. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 degrees, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen.